dislike of and anguish over social media is just growing and growing and growing. And it's part of our problem, particularly in democracies, in terms of building consensus around any issue. It's really hard to govern today. You can't, you know, there's no, the referees we used to have to determine what's a fact and what isn't a fact, the kind of, you know, been eviscerated to a certain degree.
The American taxpayers, my constituents that are having a hard time afford their groceries, pay for a car, buy a new home, spend $1.6 quadrillion to fix a problem that, A, doesn't exist, and as a matter of fact, you might be exacerbating because it's unknown. It is unknown at this time the low level that of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere that might actually destroy life, because plant life all depends, as you know, Secretary, plant life all depends on CO2. And when we kill it, then we're done, too. I yield the balance.
Congressman, let me just say that I don't agree with what you're saying out there for any number of reasons. I don't have time to go into all of them now, but I'll just tell you point blank that the difference between the periods you're looking at in terms of heat, et cetera, and human input is night and day, number one. Number two, why do you think 195 countries in the world, their prime ministers, their presidents...
Because they're grifting like you are, sir.
But look, if people go to only one source, and the source they go to is sick... And, you know, has an agenda, and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change. Now, obviously, there are some people in our country who are prepared to implement change in other ways. And
so
that's
you're questioning
dangerous.
Really if democracy can survive unregulated social media.
I think democracies are very challenged right now and have not proven they can move fast enough or big enough to deal with the challenges that we are facing. And to me, that is part of what this race, this election is all about. Will we break the fever in the United States?
See, while always ensuring and defending free speech, we must make it clear that it cannot be okay to bully and attack people online. Governments, and especially big technology companies, need to safeguard people's data and privacy and address online harassment and violence to ensure trust in technology.
The Socialist Democratic Party just can't help prodding the sleeping giant. The left has made it abundantly clear that they want our president not just impeached, but beheaded. They have pushed that narrative repeatedly. But first, they must decapitate InfoWars so that the heads of conservatives will roll.
Alex Jones obviously is a well-known conspiracy theorist whose brand is bullying. He launched similar attacks against the families whose 6- and 7-year-old kids were slaughtered at Sandy Hook.
And these people are all lawyers. They're very smart. They've defamed me in fake lawsuits they filed, funded by the Democratic Party, knowing they're protected filing false statements under defamation in lawsuits, and then they do it as members of Congress protected with immunity for false statements.
In a Slate article, it references a study by Jonathan Albright, director of the Tao Center for Digital Journalism at Columbia, who found 9,000 videos on YouTube with titles that are, and I quote, a mixture of shocking, vile, and promotional themes that include rape game jokes, shock reality, social experiments, celebrity pedophilia, false flag rants, and terror-related conspiracy theories dating back to the Oklahoma City attacks in 1995.
It makes terror-related conspiracies in with false flags when Gulf of Tonkin and all these other things are declassified. Classified to be staged. Anybody has a right to question that when it's a history of it. Doesn't mean we always think it's fake. We have to look at it.
Every one of your rights has been compromised by a totalitarian state grown to adulthood under your very nose. But the First Amendment is still holding its ground under a hail of globalist arrows, but it can't withstand the assault forever. We are reaching the critical moment. Stand up, America, and reclaim your rights. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.com.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
It's Monday, September 30th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
I think it's time to blow this thing.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to The American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this 30th of September. Yes, I'm back. Friday was a little bit of a false alarm. So we'll see if I make it through the show today. I got a wife that's in labor, but, you know, they're the early stages. It's fine. It's fine. We can leave that to the side because goodness me, my God, this weekend, it's just like absolutely crazy. Like I called Chase last night, talked about, you know, you might have to host in the morning. And I'm just like, yeah, it's just, we're both just like speechless. Just like, wow, things are just insane. It's like, yeah, Kerry talking about the First Amendment. I'm like, oh my God, I completely forgot about that. It's like the number. Let me just see if I can give you a very thin list of just some of the things that have happened over the weekend. Obviously, we have the absolutely massive floods throughout North Carolina and just all the way up the East Coast in Appalachia. The various things we can learn from that. And this might be, no pun intended, a watershed moment where we get to see in stark relief the way the government openly does not give a damn about its own people, as you have nobody there in Appalachia to actually help with the rescues. People are dying with no hope of helicopter air rescue or anything else that they pay inordinate amount of taxes. That should mean that they should be rescued from a rooftop while the floodwaters rise. No, there's nobody there to help them because they've all just been deployed to the Middle East. Believe it or not, we'll get into that and we'll also talk about some of the other aspects of the flooding that is infuriating and illustrating and means we probably need a revolution in this country for our own sake. But that's just one story. Obviously, over the weekend, Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, was bombed to death in an airstrike. They used 80 tons of explosives. We'll get into that story. And if that's true, and if Hezbollah is on the back foot, and if the deterrence that they offered is no longer applicable, well, that changes the entire geopolitical chessboard in a very dangerous way. So we'll get into that and all of its implications a little bit later. Kamala this weekend visited the border for the first time for about 15 minutes, lying through her teeth the entire time. You have college football games with Trump and Tim Walz appearing. Trump entering the stadium like a conquering emperor. Tim Walz flailing like a out of sorts mascot, also flicking off the people jeering at him because, well, he and Kamala are despised everywhere that they go. Meanwhile, over this weekend, we've also, I guess, news to me, never asked us, signed $8 billion in aid to Ukraine and $8.7 billion in aid to Israel. We'll talk about where that money's going and what it's not doing here in America, that is improving critical infrastructure that's been in the need of necessary repairs for the last 20 years. You also have a lot of J6 news out of nowhere. I'm not even sure if I've cataloged all of it. The FBI has admitted that they used undercover agents on January 6th, saying the number of them would shock the American people. Well, not all of them, because we've known the entire time. The FBI admitted that it downgraded and deleted footage of the January 6th bomber, the pipe bomber. They've deliberately, you know, destroyed abilities to find out the truth about that. The Pentagon has now admitted it disobeyed orders to have National Guard protect the Capitol, meaning the whole thing was their fault at the end of it. And that's really just the beginning. There's like five more stories about January 6th. Being a complete inside job, very obvious. We'll cover that a little bit later. There have been reports over this weekend of anti-aircraft missiles having been smuggled across the southern border, shoulder-launched missiles that can take down a commercial airline, nine of them passing through the Arizona sector of our border, apparently, according to a whistleblower. You have the news release that tens of thousands of convicted murderers have been released into our country from foreign countries over the last several years, something like 425,000 criminals released into the country, including tens of thousands of murderers, tens of thousands of rapists. We are now the literal dumping ground. We are like Australia was 200 years ago, only instead of being empty, we are full of citizens desperately crying for their government to, if not help them, at least stop sending murderers into their neighborhood. But again, immigration, a major story this weekend, as the DOJ is suing states for removing tens of thousands of non-citizens from the rolls while simultaneously gaslighting you into believing that non-citizens voting is a conspiracy theory and a dangerous thing to say. Totally absurd. Tomorrow, Tuesday, the ports are going to shut down. Just all of them, just all of the ports are going to shut down. And we're looking at like COVID-level lockdowns and shortages because of a union debacle, which seems very conveniently timed, and I wonder if it doesn't have something to do with the rest of what we're talking about, the whole World War III thing coming down. You have a massive explosion of a biolab in Georgia, I think, that looked like a nuclear bomb went off. I mean, this gigantic pillar of smoke with people for 100 miles around being told to stay indoors, shut your doors and windows, and turn off your air conditioning. But it's perfectly safe. No need to leave. So just that's happening again. Okay, wonderful. John Kerry wants to get rid of the First Amendment. We have that on tape. I mean, it just goes, how much more could even happen over a weekend? And yeah, I'm just like barely scratching the surface. It is madness. It is utter and complete madness. Oh yeah. By the way, sorry. Also over the weekend, a judge admitted that fluoride damages children's brains, lowers the IQ, and calls it an unreasonable risk, and calls on the EPA to take measures to mitigate the amount of fluoride in the water, which shouldn't be hard because they're the ones putting it into the water in the first place. It's just kind of interesting, isn't it? I'm thinking back to a lot of conversations I've had over the years, being called crazy for telling people that fluoride lowers your IQ, even though that's what the science says, and how you could possibly think that lowering the IQ of entire countries is worth maybe having some benefits and making your teeth less cavity having. I mean, it's all absurd.
Trust science.
It's all incredibly absurd. Yes, we'll just trust the science.
And if the science is wrong, just gaslight your neighbor.
Gaslight your neighbor for 70 years until the truth finally comes out, at which point the damage has been done.
For science.
Just everything is completely insane. But obviously the biggest and most devastating and mysterious and bizarre and insulting and just, like, honestly, what's happening right now in North Carolina, in Tennessee, in Georgia, in Florida, is like legitimate cause for revolution. You simultaneously have, I mean, we have no idea how many people are going to die because there is no rescue attempts being made. There are no rescue attempts being made. There are pictures and photos of people sitting on their roofs while the waters rise, looking to the horizon, thinking that surely somebody is going to come rescue. I mean, we all saw during Katrina, we've all seen hurricanes before. You know, as soon as the wind dies down and the rain stops falling, the helicopters are out searching around, plucking people off roofs, right? We've seen this before, except the helicopters just never came this time. Nobody was ever sent to rescue people. And so there's videos and photos of people like sitting on their roofs waiting for it to happen. And the caption is like, this is the last photo of these people, because shortly after this photo was taken, the roof collapsed and the grandmother and the, you know, 5-year-old girl were washed away and never seen again. They're dead. So you've got people, as I speak, you know, hunkered in safe rooms or clutching each other on the roofs in flooded areas of Asheville and elsewhere in North Carolina, waiting for the rescue that's never going to come because, well, they're white Americans. So there's no money for them. There's no effort being made. It's time we realize where we are right now, that there are people dying by the dozens in North Carolina and Tennessee because there's no National Guard, because all of the National Guard has been sent to the Middle East to deal with the fact that our genocidal, psychotic allies in Israel are bombing 5 of their neighbors at the same time with $8 billion we gave them on Friday. Like, you have to understand where we are. Yeah, you have to realize where we're at this point, and realize it's the 30th of September. October's about to begin. At the beginning of November is the election. This month of October, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we need a bingo sheet or something, but I would be shocked if by the end of next month, at the end of October, Donald Trump hasn't been assassinated, World War III hasn't started, the election hasn't been canceled, some major false flag terror attack takes place in America, martial law is declared, you know, the supply chain is taken over by the military, censorship comes down off the basis of Russian or Iranian disinformation. Now we're on a wartime footing, now that we're actually at war, when they kill Trump and blame it on Iran and get all the neocon retards to go along with yet another Middle East war to drain yet another $1 trillion from our coffers, to kill yet another 100,000 Americans, so we can start yet another migrant crisis, we can flood Europe with yet another couple of million foreigners and America as well, so we can take in all of the displaced people that are, you know, living on the land Israel desires. Honestly, I'm going to be shocked if by the end of October, Donald Trump is still alive and we're not actively in a war in the Middle East. And like, you know, oh my God, I mean, there's just so much to say. There's so much to say about the storm, the absolutely unprecedented, complete, abnormal effects of this hurricane. A hurricane that seemed to crop up out of nowhere. It was like hurricane. It was like Category 1 in the morning. By that afternoon, it was making landfall as a Category 4. Has flooded places in the mountains, and it's something that I see on X a lot. Because people like Mike Adams, Health Ranger, said things like, "How do you not have food stored up?" You know, for the people that have been hit by this hurricane, that's like been 24 hours, and they're like, my dog has died from hunger and, you know, we're about to starve here. And Mike Adams makes the very cogent, obvious point, like everybody should have some, you don't know if it's going to be a hurricane, if it's going to be a blackout, if it's going to be a terrorist attack, if it's going to be World War III, if it's going to be the martial law imposed by the government on the basis of the flu, you should have something prepared. But it's not a criticism necessarily. It's a learning opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, look, folks, it doesn't matter if you think that you're safe in Appalachia, hundreds of miles from the coast. You should always be prepared for a disaster. You should always have some sort of contingency plan. Stop blaming the victims of this. Simply using it as an example to everybody who wasn't victimized by this to go, look, it could happen to you too. You don't know what's coming down the pipe. You should be prepared. But I see in response to that, a lot of people going, we aren't in a hurricane zone. We never thought we'd have to deal with this. We're not on the beach. We're not in Florida. Don't blame us for not being prepared for a hurricane. We live in the mountains. This isn't supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen. And I wonder why the hell it did happen. You've got people, I mean, the number of people I've seen who are blaming climate change. And it's, you know, I'm a free speech absolutist, but there's a certain point. When you've got people, hundreds, thousands of them, all saying exactly the same thing in exactly the same way, exactly the same inflection, based off of the exact same nonsense, like all of it's untrue, and yet all of it is repeated verbatim. You know, maybe free speech is only important if it's your thoughts that you can actually explain and justify. Maybe it's not so important that repeater stations of the liars in power have a voice in the conversation. If you are actually talking about climate change right now, you need to shut up. You just need to shut the hell up. And I'll leave it right there. I'll leave it at that. Because I should pull up some of the tweets I've seen, but they're all the same. I can just tell you what it is. It's always the same. It's always, wow, you know, unprecedented floods once in a lifetime. But these people are still going to be voting for Trump. You know, good luck voting for Trump, even though climate change is affecting you so badly. And it's just like, okay, under the best case scenario, if everybody just kowtowed to your outrageous, retarded demands, if everybody gave you everything you wanted and you had just total control over every industry to impose every restriction that your asinine plan calls for, what would be the effect? Would you stop floods? Would floods stop? Or in the best case scenario, would like 100 years from now, maybe the temperature of the earth wouldn't raise quite as fast as it's raising now? It's like, what the hell are you talking about? The climate change programs are so far from anything that could even remotely be considered a solution to this issue that it's insulting. I mean, you might as well be sitting there condescendingly, smugly saying, this is what the people in Asheville get for not buying Dr. Chestnut's anti-hurricane oil. They didn't rub themselves with the anti-hurricane oil with the snake venom in it. Yeah, no wonder they're getting. Maybe next time, you know, they'll take Dr. Chestnut's snake oil. It's like, okay, what you're offering, what you're talking about is not even remotely close to any sort of solution. It's not even getting in to the even entire, like, let's just give climate change retards every single benefit of the doubt. Let's say they're right about absolutely everything, even in that situation, which is so far from reality, it isn't recognizable anymore. But just assume that they're right about everything. The best case scenario is maybe 100 years from now, instead of rising at 1 degree Celsius every 50 years, it rises at half a degree. The world is saved. Like, what the hell are you talking about? No, you know what actually would help the people in the flooded areas? If they weren't robbed blind to pay for immigrants, if they weren't having their wages garnished by half to pay for assassination attempts in Israel against the leaders of Hezbollah, if $8 billion wasn't being sent to Ukraine on a regular basis, if instead some modicum, a percentage of a aspect of an iota of care was actually paid for the people in the United States to repair their dams that have been non-functional for the last 50 years. The roadways, which are crumbling underneath the trucks that can now no longer deliver aid to the Americans who need it. If you actually had taken tangible steps to mitigate or helped to fend off the effects of tragedies like this, then maybe something could be done. But to bring up climate change is like worse than insulting at this point. And the comparison is actually pretty incredible to all of this, because if you actually look at Ukraine versus Appalachia, they're actually very similar. Ukraine has an area of 230,000 square miles with a population of 33 million. Appalachia has an area of 296,000 square miles with a population of 26 million. So Appalachia, a little bit larger. Ukraine, slightly larger population. But in a lot of respects, a lot of statistics, very similar to each other. Imagine the difference that $83.5 billion could have made in the region. $83.5 billion. Imagine a regime that wants to improve Appalachian lives as much as it wants to kill Russians. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having a government that actually cares about its people? We'll show you videos on the other side of Joe Biden just being like, nah, and yeah, no more. There's no aid left for the people in Appalachia. Nah, can't happen. Simultaneously, by the way, Tennessee National Guard Task Force deploying to Middle East more than 700 soldiers from the Tennessee Army National Guard's 278th Armored Cavalry Regiment are departing Saturday, September 28th, on the first leg of a year-long deployment to the Middle East. Okay, so just like 24 hours before the storm of the century devastates the populations, kills dozens, perhaps hundreds. We don't know yet. The official death count at this point is 90, but nobody's looking for survivors, and nobody's actually taking on the rescue attempts. So God only knows how many hundreds of people. But the day before this massive storm leaves the people of Appalachia in desperate need of assistance, 700 trained, equipped, volunteer National Guardmen have been whisked off to the Middle East for the next year. I mean, it is never been more obvious. And like, you get, like, I don't know, in my fantasy world, in Harrison's, you know, fantastical timeline, everybody that's been affected by this, everybody in Asheville, everybody in Chimney Rock, North Carolina, everybody who's had their town utterly devastated and, you know, have been left for themselves to pick up the pieces with the American government, who, by the way, will pay for 5-star hotels for a year for some migrant family from Guatemala that schemed their way across the border. They're being put up in 5-star hotels in New York City. You think people in Appalachia are going to get a voucher for a hotel stay anywhere for any amount of time? Absolutely not. They're being left, again, no pun intended, high and dry. In my fantasy, everybody that's been affected by this simply takes the very short trip to nearby Washington, D.C., and replaces the government with one that actually serves them. Replaces whatever this malignant tumor we have attached at our hip in Washington, D.C., that whose only purpose seems to be despoiling the American people for the benefit of foreign genocidal monsters like the Israelis. Let's just get rid of, let's just throw all of them into the sea, and let's just start again. Let's just try again, and try this time to remember that the point of a government is supposed to be to help and uplift and ensure the safety of its own people. Biden lounged at the beach while floods wrecked biblical devastation on Appalachia. As far as I know, there's still been no deployment, and we'll show you posts, social media posts, of people who claim to be majors and generals in the National Guard saying, we've got the people, we've got the equipment, we're ready to go deploy to help people, but they won't give the order, and we can't issue the order. So they're just sitting there not helping, not doing anything, while huge swaths of America and American people burn or drown in the absence of help. Yeah, we need a revolution, folks.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under health and wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
Let me take some brain force and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of Brain Force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells and rose hips. He believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com. I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. Coming to you live this Monday morning. Talking about just some of the insanity over the weekend, and that continues unabated. Hurricane Helene kills at least 90 in the U.S. Homes and memories washed away. That's the headline from Yahoo News. The southeastern U.S. began a huge cleanup and recovery effort on Sunday, and the death toll climbed towards 100 after Hurricane Helene knocked out power for millions, destroyed roads and bridges, and caused dramatic flooding from Florida to Virginia. The storm's winds, rain, and storm surge killed at least 90 people in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, and Virginia, according to a Reuters tally of state and local officials, although over 1,000 are still missing, meaning that death toll will likely rise significantly. The mainstream media attention to this has been practically non-existent. It is wild that you go on X and your entire feed is just full of the most mind-blowing images you've ever seen. Like worse than Katrina, worse than anything, just entire towns being literally wiped out, like as if they were Legos just being just destroyed, just utterly non-existent anymore. People waiting on their roofs for help that would never come. People that are now dead. And then you go to CNN, the New York Times, or any other mainstream outlet in America, and like maybe five stories down, maybe they mentioned something about it down there. No big push to have any pressure on this, to get help to the people who need it. No urgency in the fact that there are people now without food, without water, without rescue, who need help but can't get it. No attention from the mainstream media. No helicopters in the air broadcasting the dramatic rescues. There are no rescues happening. It's not happening. They're just ignoring it outright. It is heartless, honestly. Damages, damage estimates already range from $15 billion to more than $100 billion. Insurance and forecasters said over the weekend as water systems, communications, and critical transportation routes were affected. Property damage and lost economic output will become clearer as officials assess the destruction. In North Carolina, nearly all of the deaths were in Buncombe County, where 30 people died. Sheriff Quentin Miller told a video conference call with reporters, which is just horrifying. 30 people in this one tiny community. County Manager Avril Pender says she's asking the state for emergency food and drinking water. Streets in the picturesque city of Asheville were submerged in floodwater. Governor Roy Cooper called it a devastating catastrophe of historic proportions. People have never seen anything like this. And then on top of it all, and like, honestly, there's been so many crazy things over the recent past, and every time it seems like every time it's like the first time. Every time one of these stories hits, it's just a reminder of just how deliberate these policies are, just how they genuinely despise the American people. Genuinely, they just doing everything they possibly can to destroy and while they're being destroyed, to spit on and humiliate just the average hardworking person. Going back to the claims about climate change, again, can't tell you the dozens of tweets I've seen saying, hey, climate change affects everybody, but you're going to keep voting Trump, aren't you? Even beyond the absurdity of the climate change claims or the claims that every natural disaster is, by definition, an effect of climate change, like beyond all of that, all of the money that is not being spent on improving infrastructure, on basic upgrades, on rebuilding dams or bridges or building anything nice or new for the American people. Just that can't happen. Can't rub two red cents together to try to get something going there. We've got tens of billions of dollars of weaponry available to send to just genocidal psychopaths overseas. But even besides all of that, what has done more damage to this area than the climate change agenda itself? You've got people who have dedicated and just been being paid millions of dollars, focus all of their energy on shutting down coal power plants that provided work for a lot of these communities that have, in the wake of the climate change madness, you know, disintegrated with no economic prospects whatsoever. You've got the Keystone Pipeline that went through this area exactly being shut down by executive fiat, costing tens of thousands of jobs. You've got these people in these towns whose jobs have been sent overseas by NAFTA, sent overseas by free trade with China. The coal mines they worked in shut down by executive fiat. The pipelines they'd work on being shut down. Any economic benefit of governmental projects, building infrastructure, been completely withheld from them while they're getting billions of their tax dollars stolen from them and paid to resettle Haitians in conservative districts to swing the election for the Democrats. not only is climate change not even remotely a solution in the most climate change, you know, whatever. Like, if everything they say is true, not only is it not going to help or do anything or have any effect positive whatsoever, but it's the climate change agenda and their kin who have destroyed and devastated this community in the first place, long before the flood ever even came. And now that flood is here, and now that there are thousands of people missing, and hundreds potentially dead, not only is the mainstream media not making a big deal out of this, the president of the United States is just like, yeah, they're fine. Don't worry about it. They're getting everything they need. And there's no more additional resources. Let's go now to clip number three. Here's Biden. And my God, this man is president of the United States. It's just because we don't hear from him very much anymore. Because is he? Is he president of the United States? We don't know. And I think part of this is, you know, due to what's happening with Joe Biden. See, when Joe Biden got kicked out of the race, he just stopped being president. Jill Biden is opening his cabinet meetings. He was literally laying on a beach in his underwear while thousands of people were being swept away by floodwaters. No National Guard dispatch, no aid whatsoever. And then, like, I mean, there's so many angles. Like, we could just look at every single hurricane during the Trump administration, where even though it was in like Puerto Rico, it's a wall-to-wall 24-hour coverage of how Donald Trump is leaving these people to die. Well, meanwhile, all of the aid that we're sending is being, like, one thing I guarantee you, there's no Appalachian mayors that are receiving containers full of food and water and supplies and hiding it to make Joe Biden and Kamala Harris look bad. Nowhere in Appalachia is the local government destroying necessary supplies so that they can get a headline and an interview with CNN on how the government isn't doing enough. So, I mean, we could just compare this with the hysterical coverage of every single natural disaster under the Trump campaign and compare it with the fact that this is hardly even getting a mention on mainstream media. And President Biden is sleeping through the whole thing and nobody even calls him out on it. Let's go to clip number three here. This is Biden, who is, oh yeah, what I was going to say was that I think what's happened is that since Biden is just checked out completely and we don't have a president anymore, what that means is that the deep state operators, the handlers, are now free from any domestic concerns whatsoever. You notice the geopolitical maneuvers of America are just going on unabated. They're ramping up. They're getting crazier. Nobody's given a damn about the American people, because the only person that would give a damn about that would be somebody like a president who was trying to get reelected. And they might, you know, use their executive authority to get some attention on this and get some aid gone that way. But when it's Anthony Blinken and Ron Klain and, you know, whoever replaced Victoria Nuland and Avril Haines, like, they're hyper focused on, you know, creating greater Israel and killing every male Ukrainian over the age of 18. So without Biden there to interfere with that, that's just continuing even faster. It's been, you know, those wheels have been greased and they're just, you know, getting everything they could possibly want for their overseas adventurism. And nobody in the White House seems to give a damn about what's going on. Two people in America, because the only person that would give a damn about that would be somebody that needed votes. And Biden doesn't care about that anymore. Kamala Harris is going to get votes from retards no matter what she does. And so the people of America are just left to fend for themselves. Now, luckily, they are, you know, fending for themselves. But like I said, I mean, this should really be like a watershed moment. This should be a moment where all of the illusion is stripped away. And everybody has to realize now, like, we are in an occupied country by an unfriendly foreign population who is very deliberately destroying our country and then spitting in our eye when the effects come to pass. So let's go to clip number three here. Here's Joe Biden, president of the United States, hardly able to string words together. He looks like he's on the verge of death. I mean, it is bad. It is really bad. And he's just not even pretending to give a damn about people in Appalachia. They're fine. They've got everything they need. There's no more supplies coming to them, on its way, being readied. Nothing. Let's watch.
Yes, it's tragic. As a matter of fact, we're trying to get the exact number. My FEMA advisor is on the ground in Florida right now. The distinction between the numbers that FEMA's used and the ones that are used by the locals. So it really is amazing. You saw the photographs. It's stunning.
Such a wide area.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, some of the numbers from FEMA are, like, different from the ones locally, so, yeah, no, it looks pretty bad, though. Okay, so any, like, resources? No, I mean, we had stuff like pre-stage, even though this was totally unexpected and totally out of nowhere, and there's absolutely no way we could have, pre-established the amount of aid that we would need, because we had no idea we would need this much, but it doesn't matter. Whatever we gave them, that's what they can have, and that's it. And we gave them nothing, so they'll get nothing. It's like the one thing that makes this whole American experiment worth it is the benefits that we used to have by being citizens. Like all the crap we have to deal with, it's kind of worth it. You kind of think, okay, well, this is still a good thing when you go overseas and are in trouble and you think, hey, something happens to me, I'm an American citizen, and America, nobody messes with American citizens because America's so powerful. They'll mess up this whole country if this government doesn't do what it's supposed to in regards of American citizens. Kind of a good feeling. Or, you read stories about some boat captain who goes out in a storm. And, you know, all he has to do is send in an SOS radio signal, and it's helicopters and boats and guys rappelling down to save them. And it's like, oh, yeah, America, this is awesome. Like, it's cool that as just any average city, you don't have to be rich, you don't have to be famous. You as an American citizen can call your emergency services and they will deploy heaven and earth to rescue you. It's amazing. It's a brilliant part of being an American because we have that power. We have those resources. But that doesn't exist anymore, I guess. I guess that part is going away as well. I guess we don't have that benefit of being a citizen anymore. So now, even though you pay half your income to taxes, even though your job has been shipped overseas, even though your coal power plant has been shut down, you would think that you would at least have some sort of benefit from being in this little arrangement with the government. But no, not anymore. And if you're wondering why, if you're so blind to what reality is at this point that you don't get why this is happening or how it's happening, I don't have to speculate. I don't have to mind read these people because at this point they're admitting it. It's because you're white. It's because people in Appalachia are white. And the flood is just doing what the policy was doing. It's just doing a little quicker. It's just doing a little bit more efficiently, eradicating the ancient and patriotic population of Appalachia. Let's go to clip number 5 now. Here's Kamala Harris a couple years ago saying, like, this is the point of our emergency services now. This is the point of FEMA. This is our number one priority. It's equity, okay? It's all about equity. And, white people, Americans, that's a privilege. As a white person, you're privileged. As an American, you're privileged. And that means you have something that other people don't, which is unequal, which means that privilege of being an American, it's got to go away. It's got to be taken away. They have to do things to you that are destructive to level the playing ground between you as an American in a first world country and some dirt-eating voodoo practitioner in Haiti. Okay, let's go to clip number 5. Here's Kamala Harris telling you in no uncertain terms that aid for hurricanes and floods, that needs to be distributed based off of race, first and foremost. Let's watch.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities and do that work.
And we got to take into account those disparities. So I guess this is having a tangible effect, and people have been posting all over, and you can look it up if you want. Everywhere from FEMA to the, you know, authorities in charge on the local level, their primary concern is equity. That's what they got into office promising. It's the same thing that happened in Houston that we talked about over and over before she was even elected. You know, this woman, Lena Hidalgo, being put in charge as the chief judge of Harris County, whose primary role is dealing with floods. Like, that's their purpose is, like, dealing with infrastructure and making sure everything is up to code, making sure the disaster response is there when they need it. But then they put people in these positions who have no experience doing anything like that, who have never even sat in a meeting where these things are talked about and decided, who get elected saying, I'm going to dedicate all of our resources and all of our time and all of our effort towards propagandizing children into why socialism is so great and communism is the solution to all of the white supremacy that capitalism brings. So you put people in positions of power who tell you, like, I don't care about floods. I don't care about disaster relief. I just want power because as soon as I have power, I can progress my progressive agenda. And so they elect them into these positions. And then floods happen and, like, thousands of people die. And it's only going to get worse. And it's only going to be more, you know, it's a feedback loop that's going to happen because the more these people get power, the more they divert resources away from just basic necessity towards their pet project psychological operation of spreading their social disease of socialism. And then they're going to get more people voting for people like that, who then empower the projects even more to brainwash more people to vote for them more. So it's just going to get worse and worse. And it's not like an intangible thing, the effect this is having. We're seeing the effect right now. We're seeing the effect right now of millions upon millions upon millions of dollars diverted away from where they could be used towards projects of social indoctrination. And people are dying as a consequence. It's just completely insane. It really is. I don't know if we have time to go to all of it. We'll go here to the McBreen edit. Because, folks, like I said, this next month is going to be historical, one for the history books, and God willing, InfoWars will be here to document, provide clarity through all of it. But we need your support, and here's how you can give it to us.
I'm down to my last few chips. It's like a video game. You're winning the last level, fighting the last boss, but you're on one life, quarter power, one more hit, you're blown up. I use the Rathacon analogy. I'm not a big Star Trek fan, but I like that movie. Some of the 60s shows I like growing up as a kid. But the point is, it's all put correct with that movie. Where the ship, the big weapon's about to go off, they're going to get killed, they're trying to race away from the detonation of the Genesis Project, and Kirk says, Scotty, I need warp 1 in 5 minutes and we're all dead. And that's not really the case. I mean, there's a lot of stuff lined up. It takes a lot of time to deal with a lot of big groups want to come in and launch stuff. I've got to go through that. I've got to make sure they're not going to control what I say. We've got backups. But it takes time to set that up. The person I trust the most is me. And Alex Jones sitting on no money, basically, and not having money to I have to personally go in and pay for so they don't take my name. which is preposterous that they're trying, or the social media, if they shut down InfoWars, I have to be able to hold them off like I've been doing. They got Giuliani in a year. I've been fighting them 7 years. So, grace of God, you know, we're in the fight. But I've got to fight that and pay for the bankruptcy defense in the next few months, and it's conservatively $300,000. And you got to sell a lot of T-shirts when you're only getting a few bucks per T-shirt yourself to pay for that. So they're great T-shirts. You need them. TheAlexJonesStore.com. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And a lot of folks are responding, and I don't want to belabor here, but I belabored yesterday, and we got big support. And it's nothing more frustrating than have to just cover this to survive. But that's what I'm doing. They are great T-shirts. It's all there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Separately, the sponsors. My dad's company, based right here in Central Texas, DrJonesNaturals.com. Great nano silver products, great next level foundational energy, CombiChill, Top Brain, Rocket Rest Sleep Aid. You go there and like 70% of the stuff sold out. Because my dad's up against the wall. They've been attacking and going after him for 2 years. He spent basically everything he had on that. He put everything else he had in to get some stable products reordered and four new products that start coming in next week that are going to be great. So you go there and you're like, well, there's almost nothing here. Now we're up against the wall. So go get what's there. Stuff that's left's all great. Silver Bullet, Audacial Energy, CombiChill. A lot of other stuff. There's still like more than a dozen items left. There was like 50 there before. And just get it, and then you'll see the stuff come back. It's like farmers. They got to have money to hold back to buy seed or save seed. DrJonesNaturals.com had to put everything in to get the next seeds to continue the cycle of funding our operation and my dad's operation funding us. So that's why you're like, well, there's almost nothing left here. It's all got, we didn't have the money to buy more stuff. He didn't have money to buy more stuff. So we are up against the wall here. So I won't have to do this every show if more than 1% go, you know what, I think I'm going to stand up for the country and myself in the future and support people that are obviously the top enemy of the globalists. It's a no-brainer. And I'm going to get great products in the process. It's just... But I get it. Most people, this is just a show. This is not a show, people. This is the defense of the future of our species that's having a big effect on the enemy. So I want to thank those that understood this and have bought the products and loved them. They've got like 4.7 star reviews. And I want to encourage those that haven't to go to drjonesnaturals.com. And then InfoWars Store. Anything you order, even if we get shut down, it's all there. It won't be shut down for months. If that's the case, because even if they sell it and bad guys get it, it'll take a few weeks, they say, to shut it down. So we're about 2 months out from shutdown. So you'll get all your product at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin Mineral Fusions back in stock for 40% off and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com as well. All right, I'm going to blitz news. Stay with us.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Stay with us. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about the Middle East on the other side. It's insane everywhere.
Naturally sourced from the finest hemp plants in America, Rebel Zen offers the absolute finest quality CBD available and at the lowest prices. Extracted using a cold-pressed technique to retain the molecular integrity of the cannabinoids and terpenes within the plant, this full-spectrum formula ensures that your nervous system gets the full benefits of CBD. Premium quality organic CBD like Rebel Zen has been shown to naturally reduce anxiety, relieve pain, and decrease inflammation. People have reported a reduction in symptoms of insomnia, arthritis, seizures, chronic pain, and epilepsy. Several studies have shown it helps to reduce cortisol, increase serotonin, and boost vitality. Order yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get your Ultra 12 and other great products. for 40% off. Some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
Putting the power of conversation into the caller's hands. You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. This is the American Journal. InfoWars.com, bands.video. We got a lot of stuff still to talk about. Obviously, the disasters of the flood is only being compounded by, or it's only serving to illustrate the genuine lack of care that the authorities have for the American people. And that's not just about the response. It's about everything that came before the response. It's about the billions upon billions of dollars that have been stolen from these people, used to wage war overseas, the soldiers that should be there helping to rescue people now that are, like, there as I speak, there are probably people that could be rescued if an effort was made, but they'll die instead. They'll die because the infrastructure has been left to rot for 50 years. The people that would be rescuing them are deployed to the Middle East. The money that could be spent on helping them has instead been sent to foreigners. Again, are they going to be shipped to different states, given a years-long free lease, given $30,000 in EBT cash? Is everybody affected by the floods going to get even a modicum percentage of what the average random Venezuelan criminal gets for crossing into this country illegally? Or is our entire system set up exclusively to deprive the American people for the benefit of everybody else? And is what's happening now not simply not, like, it's not like it's out of line with the stated policy of our current government. It is a perfect example of it. When the American people need something, the government is nowhere to be found. When the American people are suffering, are having their jobs taken away, you have to fight tooth and nail to even get reprieve from the, you know, policies that you have no ability to affect one way or another. Right? So when your coal power plant gets shut down, your entire town suddenly out of a job, and all of the, you know, other jobs that come along with a thriving economy like that, when all of that is destroyed through no fault of your own, yeah, try to squeeze some water from the stone of American government at that point. It's not going to happen. But this is just a major and illustrative event. On top of this, I want to get into the biolab fire, 17,000 people having to evacuate as plumes of smoke rise over the horizon of some unstated chemical morass that people are breathing in at this point. If you want to actually mitigate these effects, it's not hard. It's not like we don't have the ability. And it's probably the most frustrating thing about everything that we're talking about is we have the ability, we have the resources, we have the talent, we have the people, we have the money, we have the organization. We could be living in paradise. We could be safe and productive. We could have flood mitigation strategies. We could have infrastructure That's the best in the world. But it's all being deliberately destroyed, deliberately taken away from us, deliberately and egregiously given away to our enemies. Because the people in power despise you. Something major has to change very soon.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays on the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward. If we've got to set up a new operation, and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. There's some videos here. Should help to illustrate the situation that our country is in. At least in some regard. Let's go to clip number 17 here. This is Trump saying what everybody knows to be true. Let's watch.
I'm a good person. I want to take care of. We got to take care of people. We've built this over 250 years. We got to take care of our country. Our country is being destroyed by these people. And you don't even know why. Are they stupid? Are they evil? Do they want us to be destroyed? It's so obvious that it can't work. It can't work. I mean, go and take a look at Springfield. Go and take a look. And the governor's a Republican. He's a nice man. I helped him very much. Without me, he wouldn't have been elected. But he's taken an attitude like, oh, isn't it wonderful? Look, you got to do what you got to do. You got to get these people back where they came from. You have no choice. You're going to lose your culture. You're going to lose your country. You're going to have crime, the likes of which nobody has ever seen before. Now, I'm speaking from common sense. You see, the Republican Party has really become the party of common sense. We need common sense.
Problem is, you still have these old guard GOP people like the governors of these states who are happily going along with this scheme. And I don't know how much more clear the enemy can make it, what their plans are, what their intentions are, what their designs are. Again, over this weekend, you've got Fran Lebowitz, I think your name is, talking about dissolving or packing the Supreme Court. You've got the DOJ suing states for removing 100,000 non-citizens from their voter rolls. You've got John Kerry and everybody else who's stupid enough to say the quiet part out loud talking about ending the First Amendment because it's a disruptive force for their plans. You've got the, I believe, ridiculous story about Iran being behind the assassination attempts of Donald Trump. You've got the massive escalations by Israel all over the Middle East with seemingly a total lack of deterrent response from anybody around them. And we'll have to get into that in a little bit because, again, I don't think people understand what this means exactly when it comes to the Middle East and what the effect of removing the Hezbollah chess piece from this board represents. And if there's one thing, I'll say, and all of this is about to be compounded by the shutdown of ports across the country. I'll go to a video explaining that in just a second. But I think one thing I'm realizing more and more, again and again, this message is being reinforced, is half measures are death. And playing this game, whatever it is, whether it's American politics or geopolitics or war, like whatever it is, to be treating the people in power as if they are thinking rational human beings is it's a very bad mistake. Supposedly, Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, is dead. The bombings continue. Supposedly, Hezbollah as a force has been very thoroughly savaged. It makes you think, I wonder if they could go back in time, if around late October, early November of last year, maybe it was a mistake to not get fully involved. Maybe if you were Hezbollah, going back and looking at what was about to happen, maybe a timid and tepid response to the attacks on Gaza wasn't the right move. Maybe if you can see where our country is now, the tens of millions of people that have flooded across our border, the 20-year-long prison sentences given to peaceful protesters or people not even at the Capitol on the day. I wonder if maybe it wasn't a little bit naive thinking that protesting at the Capitol, trying to express ourselves as Trump supporters in line with the First Amendment, maybe that wasn't a little bit stupid. Maybe moving ahead now, it's time for everybody in the world to realize there is no negotiating with these people. There is no measured response that they will appreciate and respond in kind. Maybe if we could go back in time, everything would be handled a little bit more differently. A little bit differently, a little bit more aggressively. Maybe next time there's some major event. Maybe the crowd really will be armed. Problem is, you don't get another chance. Problem is, these chances come up and then go away. And, you know, we said it at the time, and I want to wait to get into the Israel stuff, but I remember in like October, November, it was like, all right, Israel is like really bogged down in Gaza right now. They're having a lot of trouble making any advancement. Seemed like their focus is entirely on there. I remember asking the question, like, why isn't Hezbollah just launching an attack right now? Like, this seems to be the opening that they've been waiting for decades. Why are they not going all in? They've got 150,000 missiles and a frontier completely open because everybody in the Israeli military is in Gaza. Why not just open up on them fully? And I was like, well, there's a measured response. There's an equation of deterrence. And it's like, okay, that makes sense. Like, you know, these guys have been doing this for a while. I'll trust their judgment. But looking back, it's like, no, yeah, they probably should have just gone all in at that point. They probably just should have taken the opportunity when they had it, because that opportunity is not going to rise again. And instead, what happened is Israel got to obliterate Gaza, kill 5% of their population or more, and then systematically build up an attack plan to go after Hezbollah. Again, I just, if I had a magic wand, if I could, so all the people that have had their lives destroyed by the flood, would just go to Washington, D.C. and just set up a new government that actually works for us and serves us and doesn't treat the American people like some sort of despised stepchild. It's just brutal. It's just utterly brutal. And, of course, like, all of this is about to be massively compounded by the choice they're making to shut down every port on the eastern seaboard. You can't negotiate with the unions or whatever. It's like we're being surrounded in a pincer move of incompetence and deliberate destruction, of the inability to deal with somewhat routine natural disasters, while simultaneously unnatural disasters, disasters of human making, are just continually being thrown at the American people. So let's go to clip number 22 here. This is a guy just laying down. What happens when the ports close? It's going to get bad, folks. Let's watch.
What happens if our seaports go on strike? The strike is set for October 1st, so you better share this with everyone. Because if our ports close, everything we depend on closes with it. Let's talk about what would happen within the month of October. On day one, international fuel shipments are the first to feel the impact. Crude oil tankers stuck offshore means no new fuel entering refineries. By the end of the day, concerns spread across industries as gas stations, trucking companies, and airlines brace for immediate shortages. Everything from fuel to imported goods is at risk, but fuel becomes the most critical loss. By day three, gas stations are starting to run dry and rationing begins. Prices surge as demand skyrockets. Without fuel, trucks can't deliver goods, and the first shortages show up in grocery stores. Businesses relying on imported oil, like refineries, scramble to maintain operations with whatever reserves they have left. The ripple effect starts to hit home. No fuel means no transportation. And without transportation, the flow of goods stops. Day 7. The energy crisis takes hold. Within the first week, the impact of fuel shortage deepens. Trucks, trains, and ships that move essential supplies across the country slow to a halt. Agriculture and manufacturing are crippled, unable to operate without fuel for machinery and transportation. Airlines begin canceling flights, and public transportation services are cut. Gas prices hit all-time highs as panic buying intensifies. By week 2, the power grid struggles and collapse looms. Power plants that rely on imported fuel start to struggle and blackouts spread as they ration what's left. People begin hoarding fuel, and chaos erupts at the pumps. The stock market plummets as industries reliant on global supply chains begin to crumble. The economy falters, and unemployment skyrockets as factories close and businesses shutter. By week 4, total breakdown of society. By the end of the month, the energy crisis and fuel shortages bring society to its knees. Cities erupt into fuel riots, and law enforcement is overwhelmed. With no fuel, food distribution collapses, and starvation becomes a real threat. Communities are left to fend for themselves as fuel reserves dry up completely, leaving transportation, emergency services, and the economy in ruins. Without ports, crude oil can't get in. Without crude oil, fuel can't be made. Without fuel, everything grinds to a halt. When the fuel stops, America stops. And just so we're clear, this could all happen within the month of October. AP out.
Yeah, it's looming. It's starting tomorrow, apparently. I remember they already drained the strategic reserve for, you know, Joe Biden to stop the cratering approval ratings. They sold off the emergency reserve to China. We don't have an emergency reserve, so us not getting new shipments of oil means that we will have nothing. It's about to get really bad. I told you about this last week. Hopefully you listened and stocked up on things, because as of tomorrow, it may be too late. I'm going to go down to clip number 16. Because this is a guy from North Carolina, just talking about some of the, just what it's like to be living through this, and that's what I've gotten everything I've commented online about this, is just everybody responding saying you have no idea how bad it is. You have no idea what's actually going on here, and we don't, because there's no media there covering it, because they don't actually care about the people this is happening to. You really got to understand, you really, like, the simple explanation of this is the obvious one. The people in power, the people who run the media, genuinely do not care about America or the American people. This isn't just some, like, you know, off the cuff, like, God, they hate America. No, no. They genuinely do not have American loyalty. Their loyalty is to themselves and to people like them. And even though you're an American, if you live in Appalachia, if you live in a red county that voted Trump, you are not seen as an American with a different idea, as a compatriot with some differences. You're seen as an enemy of their plan, as a sticking point. You're the reason why their utopia hasn't been achieved yet. And they just have to get you out of the way because you're the source of all the suffering, even though you're suffering more than anybody else. Let's go to this clip just so we can hear from some of the people that are there and learn what they're actually going through. As again, Kamala Harris is doing some campaign event somewhere. Joe Biden is literally lying on the beach. The National Guard has been deployed to the Middle East. Those that are still able to help are not being given orders to help. So you've got privately owned helicopters flying supplies to and from this area. Well, the people who have paid taxes their entire lives are being left completely to defend for themselves, because the government that can systematically import 30 million migrants and give them places to stay and money to live on will not lift a finger to help the American people, because it is completely not fit for service. The government itself, as it exists right now, is not just not fulfilling its basic requirements. It is completely inverted at this point, where everything the government does directly contributes to the impoverishment, destruction, and humiliation of the American people. Exclusively. There's nothing that I can figure out that they do that's like actually for the American people. If there's ever anything, if they have to, because you're twisting their arm, they have to have something like FEMA. What do? They get in position of power in FEMA and go, okay, from now on, the Federal Emergency Response Agency, our number one priority is going to be equity and how to make things equitable and how to use this position to destroy white people, simply put. Let's go to clip 16. This is a guy from North Carolina talking about the aftermath of Hurricane Helene.
Hurricane Helene hit Leicester, North Carolina about 2 days ago. The local news is covering it, but the big news is not. A lot of people do not know what's going on. We are without food, without water. Gas stations are out. There is no electricity. It's a war zone. It's literally a war zone. Looting is going crazy. It's everywhere. Police are not responding to missing person calls anymore. They're only responding to big emergencies. The Walmart down the road on Bleachery just got flooded out where I work. There's nothing there. It's a war zone. There's flooding everywhere. Houses have been sucked away. There's houses floating down the river. Cars are gone. We need help. We need to get the word around. We need help, please. So part two, we still don't have power. I haven't seen anything. We walked down to the road. There was a car that hit a tree. Took the roof of the car clean off. Me and my roommate were splitting one bottle of water all day today. We had no more water.
We need help. My job, if you look at the video, I work at Walmart. If you look at my video, it's flooded. My job right now, I can't even go to work. The roads, the flooding was so bad, it's torn up the asphalt, like it's ripped off the asphalt. If anybody can help, I mean, it's in my bio, on my profile. If you can just click the link, I need help. A lot of us do. And please share. Please just share the other video or this video. We need help. Please pray for me.
Asheville, North Carolina, got hit by the hurricane 3 days ago. Bad news is we are getting hit by another hurricane in about 5 days. It's supposed to follow the same track. This community is devastated. Nobody can get in. I understand that there's plenty of trucks and people trying to get in, but I-26 and I-40 and every single bridge, they're not letting people cross because the bridges, they're worried, are going to collapse. We can't get help unless it's by air. And we don't know the locations where they are helping people. Sam's Club is giving out water if we need it, but there's no food or electricity right now. But just pray, please repost. It's just going to get worse. It sounds like at the end of this week. So just keep praying and reposting, please.
So again, there are, you know, tons of private efforts being made to relieve these people. And there, I don't know, the crew brought up some headline that's like generators being deployed. I'm sure there's a bare minimum of things that FEMA's doing. I'm sure, you know, they'll get some whatever containers set up for you to live in for a little while. You're not getting 5-star hotels. You know, that's only for the Venezuelans, the Guatemalans and the Hondurans and the Haitians. They get, you know, debit cards worth $30,000. And look, if it was one way or the other, I'd be fine. If the government just didn't exist and a disaster like this happens and, hey, you're on your own and people got to make up for it. You've got Nick Sotor setting up Starlinks because it's a blackout zone to be able to communicate. You've got people going through the area with pallets of water laid on flatbed trucks, just spending their own money to help out people in need. If there was no government and it was just people were on their own, we could probably handle it pretty well. Or if the government was super powerful and took all of our money, and then the instant a disaster happened, they were just on the ground repairing everything, fixing everything, making sure that the roads were up and running so you could get emergency supplies in and everybody who needed it was triaged and, you know, protected. If they'd spent billions of dollars creating flood zones, hardening our infrastructure against natural disaster, like either one of these is fine. Either one of these is fine. Anarchy, Americans can handle it. The Cajun Navy can do whatever the FEMA does cheaper and have more fun doing it. Or if you want to take all of our money, hey, it'd be fine if everybody who was affected by the flood had already received a $30,000 EBT card and a 5-star hotel for the next couple of months while they put their life back together. I'm fine with either one of these. Now we're in the middle, where all of our money is taken and given to foreigners. All of our resources are depleted for the benefit of psychopaths in New York City and Washington, D.C., and the people are on their own and helpless.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension. And
fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label it from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must. And we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back, folks. In the next hour, I'll be joined by Alex Newman and Andrew Mueller. Until then, we still have a lot to talk about. And I want to get into what's happening in the Middle East. Although, oh man, all right. There's just so much to cover. So let's start with a very quick clip. Clip number 9. This is Secretary General of NATO Jens Stoltenberg. I'm talking about how dangerous the world has become.
Well, the bad news is that the world is more dangerous. So I leave NATO in a more dangerous world with a full-fledged war in Europe, with a war in the Middle East, and rivalry with China and many other challenges.
Yeah, gee, it's almost like Trump knew what he was doing. It's almost like after 4 years, of Biden and his cronies running America. We're on the cusp of two different flashpoints for World War III. And that's not even getting into the immigration crisis or anything else. Just strictly on the geopolitical realm, it's not looking good, folks, whatsoever. Under the orders of Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin, additional U.S. military units at bases in the United States and Europe have been raised to a high state of readiness, with them directed to prepare for deployment to the Middle East. Of course, every response underneath this is, what about North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia, trapped in their homes without food, water, or medications? You want to do anything for them? No, of course not. No, we're starting a third world war. We're starting another Middle East conflict. Because of course we are. And I commented yesterday that, like, it obviously seems like this is the point. And, you know, it's like when you ask, you know, Tucker Carlson's always talking about it. He's asking Alex Jones, like, how did you know that 9/11 was going to happen? And so Alex's like, because they were saying it. And it's like so much more apparent now. They're blaming the Trump assassinations on Iran when clearly deep state fingerprints are all over it. More information has come out about that. More whistleblowers saying that both assassination attempts were set up from the inside, total inside jobs. Which you've got just the insane escalation by Israel on every front continuously. And it really does, I said it over and over, but like it feels like when you read history and you look back at World War I or World War II and you know the devastation that were caused by those conflicts and the buildup, you think, did nobody know? Could nobody see this coming? And then you realize as you look into it, it's like, no, the populations never wanted these wars. Massive anti-war demonstrations. Ahead of World War I, ahead of World War II. Out of World War II, like 85 to 90% of Americans did not want to go to war with Germany. But we did, didn't we? But we did anyway. If you ask the American people right now if we want to start a third world war, if we want to go into direct conflict with Iran, I doubt it's going to be a very popular prospect, except for certain neocons. That is, Israeli firsters. But it certainly looks like it's happening. Apparently, Biden is about to go live with some sort of statement to talk about the floods, probably. Yeah. We may go to that, but I mean, it's going to be the crew's asking, we want to go to the live. I can tell you what it is. They're going to list off a bunch of stuff that FEMA has ready. It's going to be a bunch of, we have 10,000 pallets of water. We have this. We have that. We are doing the right thing. I mean, every press conference is the same. After any disaster, after any assassination attempt, we've mocked this for years. After any mass shooting, the press conferences are always the same. It's always just agents of the federal agencies coming up and going, we did great. We did fantastic. We're doing everything perfect and correct. I'm so proud of all of us. We're awesome. We're great. We're doing it perfectly. Nobody could have ever, there's nothing anybody could have done to prevent this, but we are on the ball and we are handling it. I mean, do we really need to watch that? I don't think so. I'd rather get into the geopolitical shakeup now that Hassan Nasrallah has apparently been killed. I keep seeing other reports saying actually he wasn't killed, but I'm fairly certain Hassan Nasrallah has been killed. I'm fairly certain that when you think about the pager attack and the you know, Israeli hackers making small electronics blow up across Lebanon, you know, massive devastation there. Then you had the bombing raids against Lebanon, killing thousands of innocent people, but apparently also supposedly hitting some weapons caches as well. You've got continuing bombing happen happening in the last 24 hours. Israel has bombed Yemen and Lebanon and Syria. And so, up until now, Hezbollah has been a major aspect of deterrence for Israel, knowing that they had a very powerful force just on their northern border that limited their actions in other arenas. If that piece has been removed from the board, there's really nothing standing in their way to do to Lebanon what they did to Gaza, to complete their operation of total ethnic cleansing in Gaza and the West Bank, where they're carrying out operations right now. It means that Russia has lost a key ally in the region and is going to have to do some serious reorganization of their deployment of resources. And I haven't prepared enough to do a thorough breakdown of the history of Hezbollah, but I do want to correct some misapprehensions that people have online that I see over and over again. One, people keep bringing up the car bombing attack in Beirut on U.S. Marines in 1983. Okay, a couple things wrong with this. One, if you're saying that this is an attack on American servicemen, you're right. If you're calling it terrorism, you're wrong. Terrorism has a definition. It is attacks against civilian populations, usually in their home countries. Call me a stickler for the rules, but attacking a military installation on your own soil is not terrorism. It is by definition just not terrorism. It is just a military action against a military force. So if you're claiming that a successful operation against American servicemen in 1983 is justification for ruthlessly bombing the capital city of Lebanon in 2024, I think you're a little off the mark. Not to mention the fact that Hezbollah was founded in 1985, which would be 2 years after that attack, so they didn't have anything to do with that attack, even if it is justification for all of this. And I get it. I get how people, if you don't know the distinctions, you don't know the history, it would be easy to sort of just lump in Hezbollah as a Islamic terrorist non-state actor, kind of like ISIS, kind of like the Taliban, kind of like ISIS-K, kind of like any of these others, al-Nusra Front or whatever other CIA cutouts they have in operation in the Middle East. But if you look at the actual history of it, it is pretty clear from their own statements and their actions that the purpose of Hezbollah was always the sovereignty of Lebanon, dealing with threats to the Lebanese people. Not only are they not like ISIS, they were instrumental in destroying ISIS and stopping ISIS from overthrowing the Syrian regime or making inroads into Lebanon. And the reason I want to make this point is because if you look at the way they've behaved and the actions that they've taken and the messages that they've sent out, you know, Hassan Nasrallah did an interview with Julian Assange one time that was very enlightening, and you should watch that if you haven't. If they can be eradicated by the combined power of Israel and the U.S., if they can be determined by fiat to be terrorists and therefore, you know, any amount of dead civilians is worth their eradication, then there is no ability to stop Israel's land grabs. And by the way, the Israeli Post, I think it was Israeli Post, but some prominent Jerusalem Post, I mean, posted a story over the weekend. Did God give Lebanon to the Israelis as well? Which, of course, I mean, we've seen the patches. The Israeli army is wearing patches with the map of Greater Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu has made public presentations using maps where there is no Palestine, there is no Lebanon. It's all Greater Israel. That's what they consider it. We've told you that since the very beginning. They see it as their land. They are going to depopulate and occupy the entire area of the Middle East. I mean, that is their ultimate plan, and they're carrying that out. They're actually doing what the people in power now lie about Russia doing, right? How many times have we heard, if they're allowed to do it in Ukraine, where will be next? They'll take over Poland next. And it's like so far from reflective of anything happening in the real world. Meanwhile, Israel is like already advertising, you know, settler contracts to build homes in Gaza, the West Bank, and Lebanon. So they are doing it. They are doing the thing that we're supposed to hate, but we're paying for it. And maybe the most frustrating part of it is the fact that it's entirely us. It's entirely the United States. Israel does nothing on its own. Does Israel have the manufacturing to create the weaponry that they're using? No. Does it have the economic power to pay for all of the billions upon billions of dollars in weaponry that we're sending them? No, it doesn't. It doesn't have the manpower. It doesn't have the manufacturing. It doesn't have the economic base. It has nothing except for us. And we are the loyal slaves of Israel, providing everything it could possibly need, while we ourselves are collapsing under the weight of illegal immigration and out-of-control crime and crumbling infrastructure and natural disasters. We aren't using any of these resources for ourselves. We aren't using any of it's our intelligence they're using. It's our military they're using. It's our weapons manufacturing they're using. It's our diplomacy that they're using. It's our influence on the world stage that they're using. They have nothing. Israel has nothing to go on. Everybody hates them. It's just America. It's just America as this giant guard dog slavishly doing everything Israel wants, giving them everything they ever ask for, and receiving nothing but hatred in return. By people who openly not just celebrate and advocate the most horrific, diabolical, demonic madness you've ever seen. Like, there's somebody online going, everybody hates Israel because we show how you can just get things done. They hate that we, you know, trying to frame it like Americans we just can't do this to our enemies, and we're jealous of Israel that Israel can. It's like, I just want our border protected. I just want us not to have millions upon millions of foreigners flooding into our country, tens of thousands of convicted murderers and rapists funneled into our country. I don't want to drop 80,000 tons of bunker buster bombs on Mexico City. That's crazy. You can only imagine if America acted like Israel did, because Israel is this, you know, pathetic little nothing country in the Middle East. No manufacturing, no economic. I mean, it's just they live entirely off of it. We've given them $250 billion over the last few years. $250 billion. The last package, as of Saturday, $8.7 billion, is more than $1,000 per citizen of Israel. And they're over there strutting around like cocks in the hen house. It's pathetic, really. We are pathetic. Like, it's pathetic that America is so subservient to these people. And of course, it's because everybody who's running our government is a dual citizen with Israel. Like, we're occupied by a foreign nation. Every member of Congress has an APAC handler, and everybody in the State Department and the heads of the executive branch are literally dual citizens. So it's infuriating. One interesting comparison to make, just look at how we've been slowly but surely indoctrinated into this madness that we're experiencing right now. Let me, before I show you the comparison, let me just get into the series of events as it went down, because you have $8.7 billion being given to Israel. And along with this $8.7 billion was a demand from the United States, just like we've demanded over and over and over again of Israel, to get a ceasefire. Israel says it has secured $8.7 billion U.S. aid package September 26th. $8.7 billion, which we just throw these numbers around. You probably could replace every single dam in Appalachia for $8.7 billion. It is an astonishingly huge amount of money. It's insane. It is just completely insane that we're doing this. The package includes $3.5 billion for essential wartime procurement, which has already been received and earmarked for critical military purchases, and $5.2 billion designated for air defense systems, including the Iron Dome anti-missile systems, David Sling, and advanced laser systems. While our infrastructure crumbles and our economy collapses. At the same time, on that day, actually the day before, this is what I mean by the timeline. September 25th, joint statement by President Biden and President Macron, it's time for a settlement on the Israel-Lebanon border that ensures safety and security to enable civilians to return to their homes. The exchange of fire since October 7th, and in particular over the past 2 weeks, threatens a much broader conflict, harm to civilians. We therefore worked together in recent days for a joint call for temporary ceasefire to give diplomacy a chance to succeed and further escalations across the border. The statement we've negotiated is endorsed by the United States, Australia, Canada, European Union, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and Qatar. We call for a broad endorsement and the immediate support of the governments of Israel and Lebanon. Okay, so September 25th, we make an international demand of Israel to call for a ceasefire. The next day, we give them $8.7 billion in weapons exclusively, in armaments, to ignore our ceasefire demand. And then the day after that, Israel kills Hezbollah leader Nasrallah with 80 tons of bunker buster bombs after spies spent years penetrating his entire network, launching devastating massive attacks in the capital of Lebanon, killing hundreds of innocent people with 80 tons of bombs. And you have neocon bootlicking scumbag Republican, supposedly Americans, acting like this is a victory, like bragging about this, making memes, mocking Hezbollah, Nasrallah for being killed. America demanded a ceasefire. They spit in our face. We gave them $8.7 billion. They launched the largest attack in a year. And this is probably the 20th time this has happened in the last year. This exact timeline. We demand that they stop being genocidal, murderous, psychopath monsters. They ignore us. We give them billions of dollars to continue the military activity that we apparently are so outraged and appalled by. Well, let's just compare that to the state of the situation all the way back in 2002. Because in 2002, George Bush strongly condemned Israel for killing Hamas's top militant because 14 civilians were killed in the same strike. Israel didn't care and called those victims human shields. This is from New York Times. White House rebukes Israel for attack, calls it heavy-handed. President Bush issued one of his sharpest rebukes against Israel today, denouncing as heavy-handed the attack that killed the Hamas leader, expressing regret over the loss of innocent life because 14 other people, including several children, were killed in the missile attack that killed Salah Shahada, the founder and top commander of Hamas's military wings. Scores of others were wounded. So in 20 years, we've gone from the American president condemning Israel for the loss of innocent life because 14 people were killed in a strike against Hamas's leader, to radio silence and total complicity from the American government on a strike that killed Hezbollah's leader, as well as hundreds of other civilians, injuring thousands of other innocent people. That's 22 years of concerted psychological operations, boiling the frog, luring us into the complicity with what previously, even a fraction of what they do now, was cause for outrage and international incident. Now we wag our finger at them while we slip them $8.7 billion for them to continue unabated. And then we get our military ready to cross the Atlantic Ocean, cross the Mediterranean, and put our lives in line for them. It's time to stop. It's time we stop doing any of this. It's time we just use our resources to help ourselves. It's time that we bring our military back from the Middle East. It's time we stop arming Israel. It's time we stop providing them with diplomatic cover. Stop vetoing UN resolutions, telling them to stop. And all of this ends. All of the conflict, all of the buildup to World War III, all of the looming threat of nuclear annihilation, all of the threat of releasing bioweapons designed to go after certain DNA, race-specific plagues, now waiting ready on the shelves of biolabs across the world. All of that grinds to a halt and goes away forever the instant America decides to stop doing Israel's bidding. To stop supplying them the weapons they need to carry out the genocides, stop giving them the diplomatic cover to disguise their blatant land grabs, depopulation, displacement programs against the natives in the Middle East. It all grinds to a halt, stops, goes away the instant that America prioritizes itself over foreigners. We are beyond revelation now. We are beyond the time period where this stuff needs to be discussed because nobody knows about it. Everybody knows it now. It's time for action. It's time to put this stuff into practice. It's time to ignore half measures and go all in. It's now or never. They're going to start a third world war, and it'll be nuclear this time, and nobody gets out of it alive, and none of our rights survive the first salvo. Now or never, folks.
An InfoWars fan favorite is now back in stock after over a year of not being available. It is the vitamin C and zinc with rose hips. Now, this is a copy of Linus Pauling, who won the Nobel Prize for his findings on vitamin C's formula. It is 1,000 milligrams of organic vitamin C with zinc to take it into the cells, and rose hips, he believed that supercharged it. This formula is amazing. We've not had it for over 12 months, and now it's available back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. It is simply incredible. What it does for your whole body, your immune system, is next level. So whether you're in super good health or not in good health, everybody benefits from this formula. It's back in stock, discounted at InfoWarsStore.com. Vitamin C and zinc with rose hips at InfoWarsStore.com. And it funds the operation. So that's a win-win. Get your vitamin C with zinc, the Linus Pauling formula, at InfoWarsStore.com.
I talk a lot about the great successes InfoWars has had. I don't think anybody can deny it. And it is because of listeners and viewers supporting us. But when we talk about the crew at InfoWars, people behind the scenes, the researchers, the writers, they really have been the MVPs in this fight. And when we look at Harrison Smith and Owen Schroyer and the hard work they engage in every day, 5, 6, 7 days a week, it's really just incredible. So for myself and the whole InfoWars crew, I thank you for your past support. And I want to encourage you now to realize that InfoWars cannot stay on air if you do not support us. I know you spread the word. I know you pray for us. And that's wonderful. Keep doing it. But most viewers and listeners never go to InfoWarsStore.com, and you never buy great products that enrich and empower your life while at the same time keep us on air. I know that less than 1% of our listeners actually go buy products at InfoWarsStore.com. If just 1% more of you took action and went to InfoWarsStore.com, our funding problems will be over. Please take action now.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
The New American Magazine. We're standing outside the SDG Media Zone, and Melissa Fleming, the UN Undersecretary General for Communications, she's the communications czar, the top communications boss of the United Nations, is talking about the importance of journalism and a free press and an information integrity so that we can stop the proliferation of misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech. We've got an important question because she announced in 2022 at the World Economic Forum, a partnership with Google to silence voices that were countering the UN's narrative. Here she is talking about this.
You know, we partnered with Google, for example. If you Google climate change, you will, at the top of your search, you will get all kinds of UN resources. We started this partnership when we were shocked to see that when we Googled climate change, we were getting incredibly distorted information right at the top. So we're becoming much more proactive. You know, we own the science, and we think that the world, you know, should know it, and the platforms themselves also do. But again, it's a huge, huge challenge that I think all sectors of society need to be very active in.
So we want to find out, what is the criteria that the UN and Google are using to silence people who are putting out information that contradicts their narrative? Let's go see what Melissa has to say. Melissa, hi, I'm Alex Newman with the New American Magazine. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about the partnership that the UN has with Google to try to squelch disinformation and misinformation. You talked about it at the 2022 World Economic Forum.
Sorry, I'm not sure who you are.
Alex Newman with the New American. I'm a journalist.
We can't do it right now. Give us 2 minutes. Sorry, we're just
not available. Okay, well, I can ask her away from
the session. Yeah, and also if you go through one of us, we can connect you, schedule and stuff.
Okay, I just have a quick question. Yeah. Yes. My name is Alex Newman. I'm a reporter with the New American. Yes, this is a panel about journalism, right?
Yeah. Would you like maybe to give me your card or something?
I could, but I'd rather just ask my question.
Because we're a bit pressed for time.
Are you?
I think we need to keep waiting now with some of the guests here.
I don't have the card for the organization I'm representing today, but I'll be happy to give you my contact information.
Okay.
Yep.
The New American or just
how come they can just ask her questions and I can't? I don't understand.
We had done this before.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
We're not discriminating against media outlets, are we?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. I hope not. It seems like everybody can ask her questions except
no,
me, huh?
I don't think that's true.
That's
in fact, I don't think that this was even... She doesn't even have time for this, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my cameraman, yeah.
Okay, but I'm just facilitating the discussion.
Yeah, we're not recording you. We're trying to ask her a few questions about a subject that's of great interest to millions of Americans. We are recording. Yeah, of course.
Don't you think that you should ask for information before?
No, we're in a public place. This is America. I guess you're not American, huh?
No, I'm not American, but I understand.
But in America, when you're in a public place and you're a journalist and you're asking questions, it's obviously...
I'm not a journalist.
Oh, yeah?
And I always ask permission.
I didn't even want to talk to you. I was actually trying to ask Melissa Fleming a question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. So I have your contact.
Okay.
And
we have some questions that are of interest to millions of Americans who pay a third of the budget of the United Nations. And it'd be very good if we could get them answered. So whenever you have a chance, please contact me. I'll be here until tonight. And very much appreciate the opportunity to speak with Ms. Fleming.
Tonight might be the night because, I mean, I wish you could be able to...
We can do it by Zoom later, whatever works good for you guys. But these are very important questions that a lot of people want to know the answer to, including our readers in Congress, our readers in the state legislatures. A lot of people want to know. So, thank you. Wow. clearly not a lot of interest in revealing the formula and the censorship mechanism with Google. I'm not surprised. I wouldn't want to talk about it if I had said that either. But there you go. This is the summit of the future. This is what they mean when they talk about freedom of information, freedom of speech. It's for them, not for you.
Wow, absolutely incredible stuff. That was Alex Newman. He joins me on the other side to break down what we just saw and all of the other policies being pursued by the UN, as well as a variety, a gigantic cacophony of NGOs working together to silence dissent around the world and solidify forever their control over the minds of humanity. Stay with us.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, third hour is on here at American Journal. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Alex Newman and Andrew Mueller. Alex Newman is the award-winning international journalist, educator, author, and consultant that you've seen on this show many, many times. He's joined today by Andrew Mueller, who writes for the New American and is chief of operations at the Liberty Sentinel. You can follow Alex Newman at AlexNewman_JOU and follow Andrew at Andrew1Mueller on X. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me today.
Great to be here. Thank you for having us, Harrison.
It's my pleasure. An incredible video we saw in that first 5 minutes, in case people didn't catch it. Some people on radio don't get the first 5 minutes. Walk us through what just happened to you as you were there at the UN in New York City talking about the summit of the future. You tried to get some questions answered as to what their plans are for the control of the flow of information and were shut down entirely. Tell us what that experience was like.
Sure. Well, thank you, Harrison. So Melissa Fleming is the Undersecretary General for Communications at the UN. It's basically the vice president for propaganda, if you will, and very important lady. And she has been on a mission to silence dissenting voices. And in fact, in 2022, we showed a little clip of that. She was at the World Economic Forum and she was bragging about how the UN now had a partnership with Google to silence information that they didn't want out there. In particular, she was talking about climate, but this is true across the spectrum, COVID, climate, globalism, feminism, you name it. And as part of this partnership, Google has rigged its algorithm to silence people like us. I'll give you an example. In 2015, the UN approved the Sustainable Development Goals, the 2030 Agenda. They called it the Master Plan for Humanity. And I did an article about it for the New American Magazine. And for many years, it was the number one result. When you typed in 2030 Agenda, Agenda 2030, Sustainable Development Goals, it was the number one result on Google. That's because that was the article that everybody was referencing. It was the article that people had picked up and posted all over the place. It was the most popular article. And then the UN stuff came later. Well, now you can go look for that article. You can even put the exact headline in. It was something like UN 2030 Agenda, Sustainable Development Goals, A Recipe for Global Socialism. And you can't find it. It's on page like 12, whatever, depending on where you search from. So this is very deliberate, very strategic. And in the Pact for the Future that they adopted at this UN summit, they over and over again call for information integrity. They commit the UN and all of its members to wage war on misinformation, disinformation, hate speech. This is what they mean, right? It's not that it has to be inaccurate. It's that it contradicts the UN agenda. So they recognize people aren't buying their lies anymore. So now their solution is silence the truth, and then maybe people will believe the lies. That won't work either. You guys, of course, are experiencing your own version of an effort to silence the truth with the outrageous attack against InfoWars. But folks, they want total control of information, and this is all a big part of that.
Yeah, and like you said, it doesn't have to be false. In fact, you could be saying the same things they're saying if you just say it in a different tone. If you, you know, instead of say, what a wonderful idea to fight disinformation, if instead you say, no, look, they're talking about censorship. This is, you know, anti-First Amendment. You can actually say the exact same things that they're saying. If you're just not for it, then you'll be shut down. And of course, they're doing this through a public-private partnership. Andrew, explain to people how this is the tactic that they're using and why they're using this tactic of using places like Google or Facebook or previously Twitter to carry out their censorship program in order to get around restrictions like the Constitution and the First Amendment.
Yeah, well, thanks, Harrison. It was really interesting going there. You know, I'll just preface all of this with I'd never been to the UN headquarters before, so this is a new experience for me as a journalist. And by the way, we were
Shoot, it looks like we might have lost his feed. Alex, are you still there?
I am, yeah. And, you know, unfortunately, both of us are in Florida. And so it may be that he's having a little trouble, you know, all the power lines knocked out and everything. That may be the issue. But, yeah, so being at the UN headquarters for this, it was more control than we had ever seen. I mean, it was just out of control. They would not let you go places without minders. Andrew got a real taste of that when he tried to take a picture of a piece of Soviet art, and this Chinese lady barked at him, hey, you can't take pictures without permission. Right. That's the kind of environment. And then we tried to talk to Melissa Fleming, as you saw in the video, and she says, oh, well, I don't recognize you, so I can't talk to you. And then she proceeds to talk to several additional journalists with a big smile on her face. So it's truly an abomination. I hope we have Andrew back.
I do think we have Andrew back. Sorry, we lost you there, Andrew. I think if you can read me, although it looks like he may have frozen up again. Yeah, we're having trouble with Andrew, so we may have to disconnect and reconnect with him. The crew will work on that. So Alex, just talking to you here until we get a clean feed from Andrew. It's typical, isn't it? When they say you will own nothing and you will have no privacy, while meanwhile they're taking private helicopters to chateaus in Switzerland and you're not even allowed to know who's there. It's pretty typical, isn't it, that they want open, free information. They will say these things over and over, but that's just for themselves. I mean, they want total control. It's just, simply put, it's different rules for them than it is for us.
It is. And Orwell really got it right. You know, in 1984, he talks about, you know, peace is slavery, slavery is freedom, war is peace. That is the attitude at the UN. And people need to understand what they mean with these terms. Like when they talk about Melissa Fleming, when we tried to talk to her, had just finished up on a panel discussion about the importance of a free press. And yet she doesn't actually want to talk to the press if they have a real question. When they talk about human rights, right, this is a cornerstone of this pact for the future. People need to understand the UN means the opposite of what you think of when you think of rights. Our founding fathers in America enshrined God-given rights. They said our rights come from our Creator. Government exists to protect those rights. In the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which is enshrined as a cornerstone of this pact for the future, they say your rights come from government, your rights come from the United Nations, they come from these international agreements, they can be limited under virtually any pretext. Article 29 says they can't be used contrary to the purposes and principles of the United Nations. So it's a total reversal of what we think of when we think of human rights. And that is par for the course here when it comes to the UN. They talk about peace troops when they're talking about their military forces, famous for raping women and children around the world, slaughtering civilians. It is a grotesque organization. And you're exactly right also, Harrison, where they can say these things, right? The World Economic Forum can come out and say, you will own nothing and you'll be happy. But when we say, hey, they're saying you can own nothing and you'll be happy, then they say, oh, well, that's misinformation. We're going to delete you. It's like, no, we're just reporting what you said.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing.
It is totally upside down world. And I understand we do have Andrew Mueller back now. Sorry, you got cut off there, Andrew. You were talking about sort of your first experience at the UN headquarters in New York City. If you could pick it up off the top there.
Hey, you guys got me?
Yep, hear you now.
Yeah, so as I was trying to say at the beginning there, you know, we were accredited journalists. We had our press passes with us. You know, I'm holding mine up right here. We were legitimate accredited journalists, but yet we were treated like just hobos coming off the street to ask these, you know, different UN higher ups questions. And one thing I thought was really interesting, and Alex touched on it, was the UN War on Information. And they talked about during one of these SDG, Sustainable Development Goals breakouts, they talked about the information ecosystems. And you kind of think of an ecosystem like our climate, right? Well, they say our information ecosystems are polluted with toxins. And who are those toxins? Well, citizen journalists. And they went on to talk about how they need to bolster state media. You know, think of the BBC, think of NPR. And they actually had a representative there from the BBC. And he even said, citizen journalists aren't bad for maybe, you know, bringing a topic to light, but they're really problematic when it comes to confirming information. And that's really where the state needs to come in. And in the Pact for the Future, they talk about this. This is Objective 3. I'll read.
Shoot. It's the hurricane is messing us up. Objective 3, do you know what he's referencing there, Alex?
Yeah, so Objective 3 deals with this whole concept of information integrity, Harrison. And again, I would encourage people to read the Pact for the Future themselves because it is such a significant document in the future transformation of the UN from what they're calling UN 1 to UN 2.0. And information integrity is a critical part of this. What they mean by information integrity is all voices like yours, all voices like mine must be eliminated, must be scrubbed because we're putting out misinformation, disinformation, hate speech, and malinformation. And so they have a lot of different tactics for how they're going to do that. But the Pact for the Future does commit every government, every one of the UN's 193 member states, and the UN to waging war on misinformation, disinformation, and hate speech. And let's break those down a little bit. Right? Hate speech was a concept introduced into the UN lexicon by the Soviet Union in the 1970s, basically to describe speech that the Soviets hated, anti-communist speech, Christian speech, etc. And we don't have to speculate about where this is going, Harrison. I was living in Sweden when the Swedish government did an investigation into the Bible. And they determined that the Bible is, in fact, a violation of Swedish hate speech laws. We've all seen the videos of people in the United Kingdom, street preachers arrested for preaching the gospel, for quoting the Bible on things like homosexuality and marriage. This is the direction that the hate speech policies are going. When it comes to misinformation, if you said, for example, during the height of the COVID madness, this came out of a communist Chinese laboratory. Oh, that's misinformation. We're going to silence you. If you said this is transmissible, the World Health Organization said it wasn't. So as the head of YouTube at the time, Susan Wojcicki, who passed away, said, anything that goes against World Health Organization recommendations, we're going to remove from the platform. Of course, you guys were victims of that. We were victims of that. And so what they mean with this is to entirely shut down all alternative forms of communication for citizens to become well informed on the issues. And again, it's enshrined right in this Pact for the Future that was adopted on Sunday by every national government in the world.
Completely, completely insane. Of course, we know that the First World War led to the League of Nations. The Second World War, the outcome, you know, major outcome of that was the UN was founded. Now here we are on the cusp of the Third World War with the UN essentially announcing its intention to become a one world government. But I understand we have a video here from you guys about the UN denying that its power grab was an attack on sovereignty. So let's go to that now, and then we'll come back and get your comments on the other side. Again, you can find all of this information on Alex's Twitter feed at AlexNewman_JOU with Andrew Mueller at Andrew1Mueller, that's MULLER on X. And of course, you can go to the Liberty Sentinel to find these stories and articles and videos and so much more. But let's go now to this video about the UN denying that it's trying to become a one world government when it obviously is. Let's watch.
Yes, sir.
Hi. To the extent that
if you could just identify.
Alex Newman with the New American Media.
Yeah.
To the extent that the Summit of the Future and the Pact for the Future have been mentioned by policymakers at all in the United States, it's been very negative. We had a congressional delegation last week, had a press conference say this was an attack on our sovereignty. And last week we had 26 U.S. governors issue a statement saying that they weren't going to comply with U.N. dictates and mandates. Is the Secretary General concerned about public opposition, especially among Republicans in the United States?
Look, this is not the Pact for the Future is not about world government. It's about making an organization of independent, sovereign member states work better, right? If you look at the charter, you will see that the Secretary General has almost no authority. So it's not as if anyone is granting the Secretary General authority over governments. Clearly not. This is a deliberative body where governments come together, sovereign governments come together to try to solve problems that impacts them all. that try to deal with problems that have no borders, right? Not one country can deal with the rising seas. Not one country can deal with global pandemics. Not one country can deal with international terrorism. It's about bringing countries, sovereign, independent countries, and working together. I think the most important part is for people to be well informed and read original documents and make up their own minds.
Yeah, so translate that for us from the newspeak Orwellian gibberish that we just heard. He's talking about climate change and pandemics and terrorism, which is very ironic since they're the ones that sold all of our manufacturing to China, which has no environmental controls. And they're the ones that are, founding the opposition to Assad that morphed into ISIS. And, you know, they're the ones that are releasing pandemics that they created in labs. So essentially they're saying we need to deal with all these problems that we're creating. And that's why, you know, we need to all work together as sovereign states under one authority. That's totally not a global government. I mean, are people falling for this? Come on.
I think the UN press corps has a remarkable ability to engage in this cognitive dissonance where on the one hand, oh, no, it's not a world government. On the other hand, oh, the UN must solve all global problems.
Right.
You can't believe both things at the same time. And yet, clearly, that's what's going on there. But I want to encourage people to do exactly what Stefan Dzurek, the spokesman for the Secretary General, just said. Go read the original documents yourself and determine for yourself what is really going on here. I want to quote a couple of things from there quick, Harrison. This is right in the Pact for the Future. It says, we recognize that the multilateral system and its institutions, with the United Nations and its charter at the center, must be strengthened to keep pace with a changing world. It says, we renew our commitment to multilateralism, which is a synonym for globalism, and international cooperation. They say, recommitment to international cooperation based on the rule of law is required. They say our challenges are deeply interconnected and exceed the capacity of any state alone. They can only be addressed collectively. That's the old global problems require global solutions. They say that we fulfill our obligations to comply with the decisions and uphold the mandate of the International Court of Justice. We will strengthen global governance. These are all direct quotes from this pact for the future. They're going to strengthen tax cooperation. They're going to plot on how they're going to tax high net worth individuals. They're going to, and this is one of the biggest components of this that people should know about, Harrison, is the emergencies powers. If you go to action item 54 in this pact for the future, it deals with emergencies. And for the context of what all that means, you need to go back to the original policy brief that Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General, put out in the beginning of 2023. And so action item 54, read from it. It says, we recognize the need for a more coherent, cooperative, coordinated, and multidimensional international response to complex global shocks and the central role of the United Nations in this regard. Then they say that the Secretary General must devise new ways to strengthen the United Nations system response to complex global shocks. So again, to understand all that, you need to go back to the policy brief that it came from, Our Common Future, policy brief number 2, put out by Secretary General Guterres in the beginning of 2023. And it says, in the event of a global emergency, the Secretary General must declare a global emergency with no help from anyone, no advisors, no board, no committee, no nothing. And once that happens, it says, all stakeholders, nations, governments, businesses, religious institutions must defer to the primary decision-making authority of multilateral agencies. In other words, the UN and its constellation of agencies. So they're building a world government right in front of our eyes. They admitted when they built the UN that the eventual goal was to turn it into a world government. You go back to 1950. Secretary of State John Foster Dulles wrote a book, War or Peace, where he said the UN is right now at a primitive stage. Eventually, we're going to turn it into what he said, world federation, world government with teeth in it. And he imagined that you wouldn't even have to change the UN charter to make that come about. So that's what this is all aimed at, and people need to understand it.
Very clearly, and just like everything, they call you crazy for calling them globalists until, you know, and just like the deep state, right? The deep state, that's crazy. Give it 3 years and suddenly it's, well, the deep state does exist and it's good and necessary. So they're just doing the same thing here. I believe we have Andrew Mueller back. I'm sorry that our connection is no good here, obviously, partly due to the hurricane. If we keep messing up, we'll have to have Andrew back on because I want to hear what you have to say, but we're just having some technical issues that we can't really control. But now that we have you, Mr. Mueller, talk to us about the way that this is being implemented just ahead of what looks an awful lot like World War III at Jens Stoltenberg of NATO, basically saying, look, this is more dangerous. You know, the world is in more danger than we've been in, you know, 100 years. They seem to be preparing for World War III. I mean, do you think World War III is necessary to bring this about, or just how do you think the geopolitical goings-on play into the desires of the UN to serve as a one-world unelected government?
Yeah, I think you're right, Harrison. Something big is coming. And what I think is going on here is I think the UN has a sense of desperation, and it could be manufactured desperation. They're definitely known for doing something like that. But Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of the UN, opened his speech at the General Assembly with, "We're bringing multilateralism, globalism back from the brink." Mm. And the Summit of the Future Pact for the Future document says time and time again that they're trying to rebuild an erosion of trust. They're trying to rebuild their authority. They're trying to rebuild their credibility. And I think what's going on is they're trying to expand the UN authority, particularly in the UN Security Council, to try to double down for some sort of a horrible event, whether that be nuclear war, whether that be a poly crisis with a cyber pandemic or some sort of other virus, or maybe a new currency like a central bank digital currency, whatever it may be. They are trying to double down on their authority, create and reform the UN into what they're calling UN 2.0. They want to revitalize this thing to turbocharge the sustainable development goals. And I think they're doing just that. Now, the reason I think they're kind of having this sense of desperation why they're turbocharging things is that we have the largest pushback against the UN, in my opinion, that we've maybe ever had. And the reason I say that's for a few things. Right now, we have two bills in Congress. We have H.R. 6645, which was introduced by Chip Roy, the Defund Act. And we also have a sister bill by Mike Lee. That's S.R. 3428, also called the Defund Act, to get us out of the United Nations. Never had that. Sister bills, both houses of Congress. And we have 24 U.S. governors who have come out and signed a letter to Joe Biden saying we're not going to comply with the UN WHO guidelines. We're not going to go by these edicts any longer. And you also have a populist uprising in the West. You have individuals like Viktor Orban in Hungary, who's been a real strong pillar for national sovereignty. You have people like Javier Milei and Donald Trump who are saying, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be giving away our national sovereignty to an institution like the United Nations. And even the Council on Foreign Relations, the CFR, has a whole page on their website talking about how Donald Trump stripped hundreds of millions of dollars in funding from the UN. And ultimately, I think they're feeling a little insecure, a little damaged, not defeated, but there is the biggest pushback against the UN politically that we've seen in a long time. And there's an event coming. I don't know what that event is. It could be nuclear war. It could be poly crisis, cyber pandemic, what have you. It doesn't really matter what it is, but it's a big thing that's coming down the pike. My opinion, they're preparing to discredit people who believe in national sovereignty. Maybe Donald Trump gets elected, big event happens, and they say this is the natural end to the America First, pro-America, national sovereignty ideology. Therefore, we need to have accountability at the global level and then insert the United Nations. So this whole UN 2.0 bolstering their ability to be able to control, I think it's preparing for something big. And the information element of this plays into a huge part where they're cleaning the informational ecosystems and removing it from toxins. Part of the failure of COVID and the reason it didn't go as far as it could have was alternative media, just like InfoWars, just like LibertySentinel.org. People were getting more information apart from the CDC, the WHO, and they don't want that to happen again. They don't want alternative media to step in during the next crisis. So they're accounting for the downfalls and they're preparing to really bolster the walls in case, you know, this big event happens. And I think that that's exactly what they're preparing for at the Summit of the Future.
No, I think so, too. And I think that that assumption is based off of history. And stay with us. We'll do another 30 minutes on the other side. And I want to show you a video that goes along with that, with exactly what you're talking about. It's a video of U.S. Congressman Ron Johnson talking about what we've known since 2019, Event 201, the pre-planning of the pandemic, the complete failure for the international bodies like the WHO or the UN to do anything positive whatsoever. They're very good at censoring information and, you know, coordinating talking points with mainstream media, but not super good at stopping the diseases that they release into the world. So we'll show you that on the other side. Stay with us, folks.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to DrJonesNaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
I'm a humble person, and I want to say that I'm just a man, but I'm not just a man. Just like you, no matter what color you are, whether you're a man or a woman, you were made by the creator of the universe who had a plan for you, who has a destiny for you. That's why the system hates you and fears you. That's why they hate me. It's because the spirit I carry is one of justice and truth and courage and honor and will and love. My friends, the enemy's coming after me, not because I'm a loser, but because I'm a winner. They're coming after you, not because you're a bad person, because you're a good person, because you love God and God loves you. And so I signed up for this. I signed up for this fight, and I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer, but I can't fight this fight without you. And that's why I want you always to remember that I appreciate you and I thank you, because InfoWars is your fight. InfoWars is your baby. It's a thing you built. We did this together. So God bless you all. Let's keep fighting. America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational globalist deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now. And that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement to perform against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spread the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We're trying to make it easier for you to fund us by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
The ultimate turmeric and inflammatory support product on the market, Bodies, is available at the InfoWars store. Using pure turmeric extract plus piperine from black pepper, Bodies makes for optimal formula absorption to help boost and support your flexibility, mobility, joint function, immune system, and so much more. Truly utilizing the therapeutic power of turmeric and its active constituents, Bodies contains over 95% of the active ingredients in turmeric. And with five other organic herbs and extracts, Bodies is a synergistic powerhouse of full body support. We worked hard to create a formula that takes advantage of the power of turmeric. Check out Bodies today at InfoWarsStore.com and see what this time-tested ingredient can add to your daily routine.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
All right, welcome back, folks. Final segment of American Journal today. I'm joined by Alex Newman and Andrew Mueller. You can follow Alex on X at AlexNewman_JOU, and Andrew is on X at Andrew1Mueller. And one thing you guys mentioned at the end there is the UN's desperation to try to regain some of the trust they've lost over the recent past. Very similar things we've heard from the mainstream media. They're very concerned about the loss of trust, and their solution is to silence anybody contradicting them, when the obvious problem that they should be trying to solve is that they keep lying and everybody knows it. So they can just stop lying at any point and people would start trusting them again. They can't get over that. I want to go to this clip from Ron Johnson from over the weekend, U.S. Congressman Ron Johnson, talking about what we've known forever, that Event 201 in October of 2019 set out and established the control grid that would be implemented as soon as the COVID pandemic hit U.S. shores. And they did that very effectively. They just didn't do anything effective at all to mitigate the threat or actually stop the disease from spreading. But let's go to Ron Johnson here laying it out on Maria Bartiromo's show.
I mean, it's just extraordinary to me that, you know, the government was working with social media to amplify lies and suppress truth and has been doing so repeatedly. Why couldn't the American people know that, you know, there were other alternatives to treat COVID? Why can't the American people know that there were side effects with the vaccine?
This was all pre-planned by an elite group of people. That's what I'm talking about. Event 201 that occurred in late 2019 prior to the rest of us knowing about this pandemic. Again, yeah. This is very concerning in terms of what has happened, what is happening, what continues to be planned for our loss of freedom. Again, it needs to be exposed, but unfortunately there are very few people, even in Congress, that are willing to take a look at this. They all push the vaccine. They don't want to, you know, be made aware of the fact that the vaccines might have caused injuries, might have caused death. But, you know, so many people just simply don't want to admit they were wrong, and they're going to do everything they can to make sure that they're not proven wrong. We're up against a very powerful group of people here, Maria. But, you know, fortunately, you say, what can we do? Well, you know, we do have reporters like yourself, like John Solomon, other people that have the courage to report the truth against the mainstream media and against the narrative. But that's the only way this is going to be solved, is we need the truth to be exposed. We need more Americans to listen to the truth, to be exposed to the truth, to pull their heads out of the sand, quite honestly, open up their eyes and understand what has happened in this country. We are going down a very dangerous path, but as a path that is being laid out and planned by an elite group of people that want to take total control over our lives. And that's what they're doing bit by bit. They do it by increase of massive government spending, increase the size of government, takeover of the WHO. These amendments that are coming up that are going to be voted on in 2024 on the WHO are frightening, and they really risk taking away all of our sovereignty. People have to awaken to the dangers of the moment.
Yeah, pretty powerful stuff from Ron Johnson. He wildly claims there's an elite group of people pre-planned pandemic response to take away American freedoms. And if you watch Event 201, that's all they talked about was how to, you know, stop people from speaking out against them. It's totally absurd. And of course, Andrew Mueller and Alex Newman were there on the floor of the UN asking questions about what was coming next. And you guys are some of the journalists that Ron Johns is talking about there, and your work can be found at thenewamerican.org and libertysentinel.com. Or is it thenewamerican.com, libertysentinel.org? I think I have that right. What can we do beyond speak out about it and support the organizations that are speaking out about it, Andrew?
Well, I think two things that people can do, Harrison, is I think that one, you got to be informed. That's number one. You have to be able to know what's going on. You have to be a watchman on the wall. You have to read these articles, watch these videos, know what the UN has in store for you. You know, I use the example of, having like a wallet with $100 in it. And if you don't know you have $100 in your wallet and somebody pickpockets you, what's the difference? You didn't know you had it in the first place.
Right.
But if you know what you had in your wallet and somebody took it from you, then you know what's gone. And the same is true with our rights. If you don't know what your rights are, if you don't know what your freedoms are, if you don't know what your liberties are, what your country has, then somebody can just come and take it and you're ignorant. So you have to know what America is all about. You have to read the Constitution. You have to know that we have a Constitution that explicitly sets up state sovereignty, national sovereignty, and also individual sovereignty. And there's checks and balances. We don't have to. It's actually illegal to be involved with a global organization like the United Nations under our Constitution. So you have to know that. And then the second thing I think Americans can do is they can support legislation to get us out of the UN. As I mentioned earlier, we've got two great bills on the House floor and on the Senate bill floor right now, SR 3428 and HR 6645. Also, if your governor is not one of those 24 governors who signed the letter to Joe Biden through the Republican Governors Association, the RGA, saying we're not going to support the UN, we're not going to support the WHO, you need to be calling your governor and you need to say, hey, what are you going to do to protect our state from the globalists who want to control our health, our faith, our families, and our freedoms? So there are tons of action items for us to do as Americans. It's just a matter of waking up, organizing it, and doing it. And I think we have the best shot we've ever had, but we're at one of the final exits on the highway to destruction before this country goes off the cliff. So you have to wake up and you have to act now. So those are two things I think people can do immediately after they're done listening to the broadcast today.
Yeah, and you know, what a good way to put it, the last exit before the road to destruction, or you know, on the road to destruction. That's exactly right. And yet the UN, you know, Alex, as you were talking about, feels like they're sort of on the last leg. So it seems like there's some sort of inflection point coming that either we destroy this globalism once and for all, and they have to, you know, rebuild from nothing now that we're aware of what they're up to, or they slam the you know, jail cell shut, lock the door, and we're in here forever. The inflection point seems to be coming. Tell us, you know, what's your takeaway from Ron Johnson talking about Event 201 and the lack of trust that the UN is trying to overcome right now?
Well, Ron Johnson has been one of the brightest spots in Congress. I'm for one, so thankful that we have men like him on Capitol Hill. We actually did an excellent hour-long interview of him for The New American. I hope people will go listen to it. He just kind of drops all pretense and just points out very clearly, we do have an elite that wants to destroy America, that wants to destroy humanity. And it's good that there are people at that level who are now willing to speak out, and there will be more. To your point, you know, Robert Welch, the founder of the John Birch Society, which is, actually owns The New American, he said that by the time we got close to the end, the globalists would have to do, he called them the insiders, would have to do the equivalent of running through the streets naked to try to get to the finish line. And we're there now, right? They're running through the streets naked. Everybody can see what they are doing. And so the inflection point, as you called it, is coming. It's approaching very, very rapidly. We're coming to a fork in the road where humanity is going to have to figure out, are we going to go toward one world political, religious, and economic tyranny, or are we going to reinvigorate support for self-government, national sovereignty, individual liberty on the model of America's founding fathers? Those are really the two choices before us. And I would add one thing to what Andrew said. I agree 100% with everything he said, but our children are actually at the center of the battle. People don't realize that. If you read the Pact for the Future, the outcome document from this terrible summit that just took place, dozens of references to education and school. Right? If you read the 2030 Agenda, which they say is actually the roadmap for achieving their vision for the planet, one of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals deals exclusively with education, goal number 4. And it says all children, all learners, will be so brainwashed that they will not just submit to the UN's agenda, the globalism, the feminism, the destruction of national sovereignty, the fake human rights, the global citizenship, they will promote it. And so the totalitarians are playing the long game. And for too long, Americans have said, well, we'll just vote and then we'll go back to watching our football game. That's not going to cut it anymore, folks. Your forefathers had to put their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor on the line so that you could live free today. Thankfully, we're not yet at the point where we're going to have to put our lives and our fortunes and our sacred honor on the line. Not yet, at least. But we are going to have to make a sacrifice. If you think you're going to, you know, watch football for 4 hours and then in your spare 15 minutes make a post on Facebook and we're going to save the country, you're kidding yourself. We've got to think long term. We've got to be strategic. And so, folks, protect your children, protect your grandchildren from the diabolical indoctrination that the UN is now openly talking about, right? One of the only booths that Andrew and I saw at the Pact for the Future, this whole summit, was about SDG 4. It was a UNESCO booth talking about the importance of Sustainable Development Goal number 4. If you read the 2030 or the Agenda 21 passed in 1992 by every government in the world, including George H.W. New World Order Bush, they actually say in Chapter 36, education is the crucial element of this plan. It's got to be infused into everything, spirituality, brainwashing. So folks, protect your children. And we have a historic opportunity right now to stop these people. We've got a mass awakening happening in the United States. We've got Congress. We've got states. We've got local governments saying we're not going to comply with this. Now's the time for us to double down and go full speed ahead because time is running short.
Yeah, it's sort of a decentralized attack, and it needs a decentralized response. Obviously, you have the UN and these major supranational organizations doing it. It's also being implemented on the national level, and you've got actors in the state governments implementing this, and actors in the local government engaged in this, and the giant swath of NGOs working in tandem to bring this about. But we've had incredible success just exposing these people and talking about it. And one thing, Andrew, I know you mentioned, like, people have to know their rights. That's such a good point of, losing your wallet. And if you didn't know you had money, what's the loss? And almost more important than that, and tying into education that Alex was talking about, is why we have these rights, why the rights are important. I feel like now people just don't. They don't even understand why they would want free speech. They're like, it's just dangerous and who cares? And I'll just listen to the authorities. How do we convince people, convey to people that not only do you have these rights, but they're like important and good and they mean that you can think your own thoughts and be a human being? Like, I think we've failed in imparting the importance of these rights, let alone their existence. And what's your take on that and just the way education plays into all of this?
Huge point. Ultimately, Harrison, I believe it's a spiritual thing. I believe it's, something that goes to the core of our beings as humans. I believe that ultimately everybody is going to have to come to terms with that at some point in their life, and they're going to accept that or reject that. I'm a Christian. I believe my rights come from God. And that's what our founding fathers believed. They believed that rights came from God, that governments, and I'm quoting here from the Declaration of Independence, were instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, and that governments were instituted to protect certain inalienable rights that among these life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, they didn't do what the UN does and try to list every single human right that you could think of. The problem with doing that is that humans are messed up. Humans are wicked. They forget things. They twist things. They, are manipulative. So you can't list every single right a human being has. And the founding fathers understood that. It's not the government's place. God gives rights to his creation, and government's instituted to protect those. So that's what's made America special. So I think that the importance of educating people is to tell them, look, you have a relationship with your creator, and your creator is not the government. The giver of rights is not the government. It's not our fellow man that's elevated to political positions. So I think that's how we can get people to believe that this is important and to educate them, because ultimately, if your rights come from God and government's instituted to protect those rights, not give them, not grant them, not take them away, no, just protect, then that means we all have a responsibility. We all have a part to play in our republic. And I think that is what's made America so great, is that people felt a duty. They felt a responsibility to play a role in their government, because they weren't only acting on behalf of their own interests, but also the interests of their fellow man, because we have to be watchmen on the walls, guarding against an over-encroaching government. And I think that that gives meaning and purpose to our lives. And I think that that's a huge thing that we've lost in this country, is that we've become dependent. We've thought, how can the government serve us? What can the government do for us? Instead of, what can we do for each other? What can we do to make our world a better place? How can we limit government and streamline it to make it so efficient that it doesn't impact our lives, but just does the bare minimum in a sufficient manner to protect our liberties from those who'd wish to take it? And I think being in the media and doing what we're doing right now is a huge role in that. And there's a responsibility that comes with it. But unless and until the American people wake up and realize that what's going on at the governmental level isn't just policy, it isn't just politics, but it's a spiritual war. At the UN, they have a meditation room and a concentration room to pray to pagan gods. It goes all the way back to Alice Bailey and her Lucifer publishing company that she started. True story. And they believe that this is spiritual. A lot of people at the UN, they think this is a spiritual thing that they're doing. And why would they have a meditation room? Why would they have all this weird Marxist, humanist, religious art if they didn't believe it was spiritual? So they're going to play chess while we're playing checkers, unless we wake up and recognize, hey, this isn't just politics. This isn't just policy. This really is evil versus good. Wickedness versus righteousness. And we have to start thinking in spiritual terms here. And when it comes to rights, they come from God, not the UN. So those sort of conversations, I think, really preface the importance of reporting on this, because it's not just simply politics as usual. This really does cut to the heart and soul of our nation and us as individuals. And no one can stay silent on this. No one can stay silent on this. We have to talk about it.
Yeah. And great seeing Ron Johnson point this out, but we need like every conservative recognizing the real fate of humanity that hangs in the balance here. Again, Alex and Andrew, both of y'all were at the New York City UN headquarters during this Pact of the Future. And tons of great reporting on it. TheNewAmerican.com, LibertySentinel.org, conversations, articles, investigations, just incredible stuff, you know, for people that want to look more into this. What was something that was like maybe unexpected? I know, Alex, you've been to some of these, but was there anything about this iteration of the UN that stood out to you as different than before, or just there being on the ground? We weren't there. So what was it like experiencing the UN Future Pact meeting where all these governments signed on to this future enslavement pact? What stood out to you being on the ground and in person there?
Well, one of the things that really struck me as different from past summits was the total lack of coverage of this, Harrison. So I've been going to UN summits for about 15 years now, starting at the COP15 in Copenhagen, the UN climate summit in 2009. And there's always some press coverage in the run up to these things. And yet when it came to this summit of the future, which the UN had been talking about in grandiose, almost blasphemous terms for 2 years, not one peep from the mainstream media in the United States. We started exposing it early last year, and yet nothing from ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, the AP, Reuters, until the Pact for the Future was passed. That's when the floodgates opened and a lot of articles came out. And my hypothesis is, look, they're realizing that even when you lie to people, even when you tell them that this is great and it's wonderful and it's going to create a better future and we're all going to sing Kumbaya and live with rainbows and unicorns, Americans are well informed enough, they're suspicious enough of these institutions, that if they had even known this thing was coming, there would have been a major backlash. And so total radio silence on this. We did have somebody high up in the UN communications architecture leak a memo to us where Melissa Fleming and other senior UN communications bosses were actually talking about how to market this to the public, how to market multilateralism, how to market the Pact for the Future. They said there were advertising agencies standing by to help them flood the internet, is the term that the memo used, with propaganda on this. And yet in the United States, total radio silence. So for me, that's a very actually encouraging development, because what it shows is that they realize that even with their spin, even with their propaganda version of events, they know Americans are way too suspicious now to be sold this bill of goods. So I'm really encouraged by that. And, you know, Andrew really talked a little bit about the incredible hostility to journalism and to journalists. I had never experienced anything that dramatic. I mean, I've been to these things again for 15 years now, and they're never welcoming to people with real questions. But this was on a whole nother level, right? You see some B-roll here of the police shutting down a journalist just trying to do some reporting. Inside, we had minders walking us around. Two out of our three minders were actual communist Chinese, right? Just terrible, terrible treatment for journalists. Nobody wanted to talk. And I think this is a sense of where the world will go if these totalitarians get their way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just insane. Journalism on lockdown at the United Nations by Andrew Mueller. That's the article from Liberty Sentinel. Andrew, this is your first time at the UN. Is that what stood out to you, or just walks through your experience being there on the ground? And by the way, it's like, look at these guys. It's, you know, I could maybe understand it if you had some rabble rouser, you know, big guy coming in and yelling. But like, you guys are totally respectful, totally professional, certified. You've got the press pass. There's no reason to treat you any differently. But of course, they know that you oppose them. So of course, you're going to be treated differently. So Andrew, I mean, what was your experience with the anti-journalist sentiment at the UN? Did you feel that as well?
100%. They had a huge tent, Harrison, a huge tent, and it had TVs. I don't know, maybe 20, 30 TVs in it, and it was playing UN TV. This is a live stream you can get on YouTube. This is a live stream you can get anywhere on the internet. And all the journalists from around the world are sitting at their desks, watching the TV, typing away on their computers in the press tent, which is far removed on the UN premises from where the General Assembly meets and where all the action's happening. That's where the journalists stayed. There are hardly any American media there. And when you would go out and you would wander around and you try to get questions, like Alex said, communist Chinese escort would come and say, hey, you can't be in this area. The UN police would come and say, hey, you can't interview this person. And we talked with somebody who is from a country that I won't disclose, with an outlet I won't disclose. And they said, I was interviewing one of the UN youth delegates, asking them simple questions. UN police came, told me I can't do that, can't have an interview. And the other thing that struck me as interesting, Harrison, I grabbed one of these just for illustration's sake. I'd never wear it. But this is the UN Sustainable Development Goal SDG pin. And they were handing these out, and the journalists were wearing them. So you have the journalists wearing the jerseys of the home team when they're supposed to be reporting about the UN and being the watchdogs, right, of what's going on. They were wearing the pins showing that they were on the right side of the story in the eyes of the UN. So that was really interesting. But one thing, and one little story I'll tell very briefly, was that Alex and I were trying to get some interviews. We're trying to talk to people, and they assigned to us a Chinese communist escort. She accidentally took us up to the 27th floor of the UN, where Antonio Guterres meets with all the different prime ministers, presidents, potentates and stuff to interview us or to meet with them. She accidentally took us up to that floor. We're walking around high level UN security. They see our press passes. They freak out. They escort us out. And we started talking with the different escorts about, you know, why do you like the UN? Why are you working here? And some of them were just interns from various countries. Some of them were higher up. They really kind of believed in the cause. But there was just this total anti-journalist sentiment. We tried to take pictures, tried to go to some photo shoots between the Secretary General and some of the different leaders of foreign countries. We were met with very weird reactions from people. Why would you want to get a picture? Why are you here? You can get the pictures online for free. Just questioning our motives, questioning why we were doing journalism. So there was a huge anti-journalistic sentiment. Every time you'd wander away from the media tent, they'd say, oh, the media tent's back that way. It's like a little kid waking up from their bedroom and the parents saying, no, go back to bed, go back to your room. So huge anti-journalist sentiment, and you have to ask, what are they hiding? Why don't they want the media there? And why would you give out press passes? Why would you invite these people to come unless you wanted questions? And I think the answer is most of it was foreign state media, government-backed, weren't asking any hard questions. So that was very eye-opening.
Right. They were there to funnel and to launder the lies into a consumable form for their readers and audience. And of course, you know, when you talk about the UN, these are the people funneling the immigrants. These are the people proposing the censorship. These are the people locking down the entire world and taking us to the brink of total collapse based on the flu. These are the ones doing all of it. These are the people that want you to be constantly listened to. Right. You've got Ford now saying, yeah, we're going to listen to your conversations in our cars through microphones. They're going to listen through any sort of microphone they can get, but God forbid you ask them a single question. They are above, you know, your knowledge, but everything you do, they want on a giant spreadsheet to determine whether you're a threat or not. Incredible work. Alex Newman, at Alex Newman underscore J-O-U on X. Andrew Mueller, at Andrew 1 Mueller on X. And of course, you can find their incredible reporting, the articles, the videos, and everything at thenewamerican.com and libertysentinel.org. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me and for all the great work that you do.
Thank you, Harrison. Thanks, it's Harrison. An honor, and God bless you, sir.
God bless you, and man, thank God we have people like that going and actually getting the story for themselves. Folks, that's about going to do it for us here at American Journal. God willing, I will be out for the next 2 weeks, as we should be expecting a baby today or tomorrow. But if not, I'll be here tomorrow as long as I can be. Alex Jones, of course, begins in just about 90 seconds after this commercial break. You've got to go to InfoWarsStore.com to support us, as this month, October 2024, looks like it's gearing up to be one of the most decisive periods of time in all of humanity. Will we succumb to the demands of the globalists and be slaves for their wars, or will humanity break free and shatter their grip once and for all? October will decide. Stay with us.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious, because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word.
explore the third dimension and fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.